found you, found my most intimate prayer. When I found you, I found what every heart dreams of. When I found you, I found love. When I found you, I found the rest of my life. When I found you, I told all others goodbye. When I found you, I saw my fears fly away like a dove. When I found you, I found love.
Yes, come and share my love. And the other song was I Found Love, Cindy's song by BB and CC Winans. Do you feel like your love is challenged by different races? Black love versus black love versus Latinx love versus non-melanated love? In the last few segments, we've uncovered quite a bit during these topics on relationship roundtables to why do they fail? Is your love real love? And STD, sexually transmitted demons. But this evening, oh yeah, and by the way, you can always go back and listen to those episodes as well. But this evening, Thursday, October 20th, happy birthday to my friends out there. I'm Miss Inez Says, let's talk about it. We'll be discussing mixed races love challenges, which we face during choosing a partner of the same race and of other races. So listen in and come on, join us at 845-241-9985. Again, that number is 845-241-9985. So join us tonight on Let's Talk About It on Mixed Races Love Challenges. Let's get ready, all y'all worldwide listeners. As I said, I am Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of onice.co Designs, and please call in at 845-241-9985 and let's talk about it. It's no secret that dating has a lot of ups and downs, and with so many ways to meet people nowadays, it can definitely feel overwhelming at times. You may have recently taken a plunge into the dating pool and have swiped less, more times than you can count. And if you're dated interracially, what have your challenges been? Challenges you as an interracial couple may experience in public or among friends and family can include a whole bunch of things. So tonight we have, so far we have a couple of people. We have my brother from another mother, Joe, out of Montana. Hey, Joe, how are you? Hang on just a second. There you are. How are you, Joe?
I'm fine. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you, thank you, thank you, as always, for joining us. And we have another person whose number doesn't come up. I don't know if they want to say anything or want to introduce yourself. Or if you're just out there listening, that's fine as well.
Yeah, this is Solution. I was here last night, too.
Last night? We didn't have anything last night. We had on
Tuesday. I'm sorry. Not last night. The one before. I had just been in a meeting, and my batteries were drained, and I just listened to you. Yeah, I just listened to you guys.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us again. But have either of you dated interracially at all?
Joe, you want to go if you want to proceed?
All right, yeah. I find no difference between white, black, Chinese chicks. They're all pains in the ass, and those that weren't pains in the ass were about the same in terms of being agreeable as anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You know, so, okay.
So, did people stare at you differently, look at you, and then point fingers or anything?
Well, point fingers, no. But look, yeah, that was years ago. Mm-hmm. I doubt if they do it now.
Right, because it's
PC
common.
Now.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But I don't want to say this. So, well, nowadays it's so different, you know, with everybody dating. Because I know we had talked about, you know, what do you bring to the table? I mean, did you do the pros and cons with her or with any of your interracial mates, I should say? Did you ask them questions? Did you do the pros and cons with them?
Did Did I get into, like, a discussion about the pros and cons? You're asking me if I find pros and cons with the, which yes.
Yeah. So, you know, because you always discuss about how you, huh? Yes,
oh, no.
Sir.
I don't know which yes you mean. Did I, no, this, is it the yes I got into a discussion? Or yes, about my perceptions about differences between the races?
No, basically, you know how, you know, you have your pros and cons list that you had discussed before, you know, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, so on and so forth. Did you ever...
Oh,
okay.
Okay. No, I haven't gotten...
Oh, that's what
no.
I was asking.
No, okay. I haven't gotten into that. When I find, or if I find somebody that's really worthwhile, or I think is worthwhile, that's my recommendation, is to do that when you're in the beginning of a relationship. Then
okay.
I take out the piece of paper and do the pros and cons. No, I wouldn't call it the pros and cons. I would just say what you like, what you don't like, and a description of scenarios which people should discuss in order to find out what their reactions would be now as opposed to later.
Okay. And Mr. Solutions, what about you?
Yeah, well, right. I'll lead with King's quote and just make the point is that it doesn't have to do with race. I think that's pretty atavistic or primitive. What it really has to do with is character. And I think Joe said it with regard to women in Western society within the U.S., they have been taught – excuse me?
Nobody said anything.
Oh, okay. I heard some background. Women in the U.S. have been taught to be bellicose. They've taught to be angry all the time, bossy, antagonistic, all the things that destroy relationships. And hence, that's why there are more single people today than married people. But I think that a good person, regardless, a person of good character and just an all-around good person, it doesn't matter what ethnicity, what background they are, that character will come to fore and in terms of agreeableness and that sort of thing. So cooperation and agreeableness are probably two of the most important things foundationally for a relationship. So women who don't bring those, since you're speaking from the male side, women who don't bring those particular characteristics are not going to be successful with men, especially successful men.
Okay. And so you don't ask them, you know, what do you bring to the table or anything like that, or, you know, how can you enhance me? How would you fit in my life? You know what I'm asking? You understand what I'm asking?
Sure. Well, that's discovery, and that naturally emerges as a result of two people interacting, i.e., spending quality time together. So that's going. Now, I heard Joe say, and I want to comment, if you don't mind, on that and something another gentleman said later. But he said that dating. See, you can't speak to a woman about substantive things. That is so unfortunate. You can't talk to her about things, particularly that she feels that she has power over and that she's entitled to. Now, most women have never thought it through as to why they are entitled to a man's money, particularly. But they do. They feel that way. They feel that they're entitled to be taken out and wine and dine, you know, and it's all about their experience. So I concur that they should not receive that until they have proven themselves and that they really are meaningful to the man, because most of these women are just kind of passed through. They're meaningless to a man. I'm not saying they're meaningless people, but they're meaningless to a particular man for him to be spending his hard-earned money. Remember that money I said that a guy should work 60 to 80 hours per week? He mm-hmm. should really guard that very carefully. He's a fool if he doesn't.
Right, okay. And, I mean, and a woman could be the same way. She could guard her money if you know, she finds a man who, what is it, is, as you say, 666, 6 foot, six-pack, six figures.
Well, that's,
you know.
Go ahead. That's a bit unreasonable, but continue. I'll respond to that, though.
But, I mean,
well,
know,
see, a woman's money is not on the table in the first place. See, that's the issue. Now, you are positing that. But in the dating paradigm, a woman's money mm-hmm. is virtually never on the table. Just sit back and listen to conversations when people talk about this. And I do that all the time. I'll shift it to the woman. She can take a guy out. But most people, believe it or not, and they don't even know why, they're not accepting of that. And most women, that's anathema to them to pay for a guy. Although if they did, if they were encouraged to pay for the dates, they would make better choices. They would have to because they value their
mm-hmm.
their resources.
Okay. Hmm.
Just ask okay. your girlfriends. How many of them ask and take men out on dates and pay for it? You'll see what I mean real quickly.
I mean, and as we had discussed in last week, you know, sometimes, you know, if someone takes you out the first two times, it should be apropos for a woman to say, hey, let me pay this time. You know, I'll do that, you know, because it's like, you know, you work hard, I work hard. I got a couple of pennies to my name, so how come I can't pay for it? You know, they look at you like, really? I said, yeah, why not? You take me out.
Yeah, but there's a
I?
Huge snag
you know?
There. I think what you're saying, if we put some flesh on the example you just gave, you're
mm-hmm.
saying the man
mm-hmm.
pays. Oh, go ahead. You're saying the man pays several times. Well, what if it's one and done? He ends up being the fool because he's the only one that pays. And many women go out only for the meal. So, you know, it's like
and
they're on to
the that.
Next.
Mm-hmm.
Go
mm-hmm.
ahead.
We talked about now. We talked about that, and some—that's how some people are. Well, I'm hungry now. Let me see if I get a sugar daddy. You know, find somebody to take me out and feed me. It's like okay,
right. But see, my
but
point is,
know.
They're on to the next sucker, and there's
mm-hmm.
not this quid pro quo that you just expressed in your example. So the man never
mm-hmm.
gets a chance. To be appreciated that way because she's on to the next super sucker.
Mm, sometimes. Sometimes they are, you know. Sometimes they may...
Well, I'm just telling you about American culture, but go on. Go
mm-hmm,
on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
Well, that's it. You know, if it's one and done, I mean, it's you know, there's not the opportunity for... And see, again, I just tell you this, Inez. The underlying theme
mm-hmm.
is men have been taught to be trash. Our society basically sees men as disposable. They're trash. No wonder women treat them that way. And I applaud men who go to other countries where men are respected and appreciated far more. And it's part of our fault, too. Because we as men do a lot of dick measuring and fighting each other, and we really don't promote our own value. Now, we're finding that's changing a little bit, but, you know, it's not changing as rapidly as it should. Men are exceedingly valuable. We would have nothing if it were not for male ingenuity, creativity, and male labor.
Hmm. Hmm. Okay. So women, you say women don't contribute like men do?
No.
I'm just asking that question.
Well, yeah, that's a good question. No, we value men's we value men's labor more than women, but more than women's labor, but we value women's lives more than we value men's lives.
because they can reproduce, correct? But we still need a man to help us reproduce. So both lives should be equal.
Right, it should be, right. It definitely mm-hmm. should be. But listen to some of your people, and you'll see that that's not the case. I mean, I was explaining, well, the reason it's that way is it does have something to do with the reproductive capacity of a woman. And like mm-hmm. you say, she needs a male in order to fertilize her seed. But it's been over-glamorized. The role of women and the value of women has been greatly over-exaggerated to the detriment of the value of men. And that's why in a great book called The Myth of Male Power, where Dr. Farrell talks about the disposability of men. So, and then men don't speak up for themselves as a general rule. They just kind of do the doormat thing and allow women to walk all over them. And women take them up on that. Women do it.
They allow themselves to get, have that happen to them?
I'm sorry, say again?
I said you allow, they allow them to have that happen to them?
Yeah, because men have not been really taught. That's a new frontier. Men have really not been taught. I asked Sarge to come over here, and I hope he does, and he may be in the cut listening. But, yeah, men have not been taught to challenge women. And usually when you challenge women, they fold like a house of cards because they really don't have a substantive argument for their positions.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Now, that's not the fight that the two ladies gave you the other day.
Surely you jest.
They had plenty of fighting bite in them, so I was like, oh,
hell. Well, yeah, but that was nothing.
Like that.
See, that was just proving the point. If you would stand back and look and you would say, how does this a healthy relationship make? A woman arguing with a man. I tell women all the time, they don't need to argue with a man ever. If a man likes you, what are you arguing with him for? You want to beat him up? You want to whip his ass? I mean, what's your goal? It's kind of stupid
power.
To see a woman arguing
power
with a man.
Go
ahead, I'm sorry.
I mean,
go ahead.
It's probably a power play.
Yeah, but a power play to what end? What's the telos? Or the terminus, I should say. What's the goal?
I know what you're saying. To so that they, you know, that they may have a set of gonads as well. That you can't walk over.
Oh, wait a minute. So
that
women
me.
May have a set of gonads?
Mm-hmm. That's what.
What's the old joke?
I mean,
if my grandmother had balls, she would be my grandfather.
Yes, right. But I'm just saying.
Yeah, she means for a good
you know,
way. She means for a good
yeah,
way to have courage.
Yeah, they have courage.
Yeah, but that
you know,
okay, but that doesn't play very well. I mean, who needs it? I mean. You know, I was on a show the other night, and what I said was that men are women's best protection, physically, financially, et cetera, because they were talking about women getting murdered. And I said, number one, women shouldn't be out after a certain period. Now, they can. I'm not saying anyone should limit them. Do whatever the hell you want to do, women. I'm just saying, you know, one might ask, question very saliently, how's that working out for you? But, you know, a lot of people, a lot of loonies target women, especially women out alone, this sort of thing. So what I said during the course of the conversation, it was unwinding with Teddy. And wine is W-I-N-E, you know, play on words. And she agreed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was rather pleased that she agreed because they were saying a woman's head should be on a swivel. Well, yeah, but a guy, I mean, that's fine, but she should either be inside after a certain hour, or if if she's out, she should be out with her man, not someone else's man, because then there's the possibility of the woman's, another woman stalking you. But being with a man is a woman's best protection in virtually every, from every facet that one could imagine.
Hey, have you heard from Ted Santos?
Who?
I'm asking a solution.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't call into the show, so I haven't heard from him.
He hasn't been around in about at least 2 to 3 months, and I've been to the YouTube channel. I'm wondering if he's dead, man. The reason why I'm asking him this is because he hosted a show which primarily mm-hmm. was about the how women are overrated. And he did it in a nice mm-hmm. way. Women were invited to call in, but some of the guys got rowdy because they've had some real bad experiences. But I wanted mm-hmm. to find out because his channel is still up. His show isn't on anymore. And that would have been a good show for you to call in because he would have talked about studies that showed about how women couldn't handle stress. I brought up one example, and he knew about it, in which women, when they said, well, you know what, we're tired of men, and one in particular, one woman started her own business, hired only women, and got nothing but trouble. And she decided from that time on to have a co-ed environment. So
right.
I just wanted to find out about Santos because he was worth listening to. Okay, I'm done.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I just follow up. No, he's a businessman, and I mean, I wouldn't go to the extreme and say, did you say you thought he was dead?
He was wondering if he was.
Yeah, because I've been to his website, I've been to the YouTube videos. There's
yeah.
been no updates on his blogs since he disappeared. Even if he was overseas.
He could be busy. He travels out of the country. He's an international man, from what I perceive. So I don't know. I mean, I have to plead ignorance on that, je ne sais quoi. I know there are a lot of things that could answer that besides, you know, his demise. But I don't know. That's my answer.
That's your answer, and you're sticking to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what about the race situation? You know what question should
Maybe?
Be asked about the race situation? Would
what's that?
Under what circumstances? Just in case you were going to ask me in particular, under what circumstances would you go out with somebody from a different race? I'm saying that would be a good question to ask people because some, you know, a lot of people say, yeah, I wouldn't mind going out with, you know, black or white or Chinese, et cetera. But under certain
mm-hmm.
circumstances, hell to the no.
Well, and it just depends because if your race has, what's what I want to say, not giving you any good luck on love, and I just wish my nephew would chime in, but I'm sure he's working, that, you know, because he wants to go to China or to Asia and find a woman of another ethnicity because he's had such bad luck with.
Let me give a warning there, just to interrupt for a second, because Rich
mm-hmm.
was talking about, you know, how men would go overseas, and they do. But when you, and I mentioned this before, when you bring back a European woman, probably a Chinese
mm-hmm.
woman too, once they get acclimated
mm-hmm.
to the laws here that elevate
mm-hmm.
women to the status of, I'm a porcelain princess on Monday, I'm Xena on Tuesday, and on Wednesday I'll choose which one I want. But in the meantime, what I did overseas, you know, with
mm-hmm.
respect to treating men a certain way, if I don't do that here in America now, there are no consequences. So I would warn men, if you're going to go overseas, stay overseas. Because if you bring them back over here, you're going to be in for a rude awakening.
Bad news. Right.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
Let me chime in on that. I think that's true to a certain extent. Excuse me, not completely, but I certainly understand the caution there. This is why I say when I talk about this, and I know the late, great Kevin Samuels used to discuss this too, and I wanted to make sure that he did because I wanted to see the essence of what he was saying. And he did talk about prenuptials. And see, this is where men are really, a trap is laid for men, for American men particularly. And they fall into it because, you know, men are wonderful, but they tend to be very naive toward the system and how the system operates vis-a-vis women. And so I would say a man should always insist on a prenup. Now, Tom Likas talked about this also. So that prenup, affords a man a certain amount of protection of his assets and also properly vetting the woman. And now another thing, and this is directly in line with what you said, when I get a chance, I want to talk to the guys about this too and say to them, and Miss Inez, you might get some of those guys that are travel internationally on, and some of them are very articulate, very intelligent guys, very successful guys. But I talk about Guam, the American Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, of course, American Samoa. There are about five places. And the non-contiguous U.S. State, which is Hawaii, where the cultures are different. Now, those women there are different, too. And they respect men, but the main point there is they come to the U.S. and it doesn't work out. They are U.S. citizens, okay? So you don't run into the same problem. And I was updated recently that according to the State Department, you have to take care of a woman from another country, an international woman, for 2 years. You have to pledge to support her for 2 years, I understand. And it may be different. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm listening. I'm just.
Yeah. So that is a caution. I'm just, you know, guys, I love guys. I don't want to see guys get set up. And the system has a way of setting guys up. You know, a lot of guys commit suicide as a result of family court. Family court drives a lot of guys to commit suicide, takes all their assets, doesn't give a damn, you know, for child support, which is backdoor spousal support. And, of course, they just abuse men to no end. Now, most of us don't know about that because, really, we don't give a damn. It's just men, you know? I mean, what are men for except to lie their coats down and their face down in the puddle while a woman uses it as a bridge? I mean, I'm just calling it like
I was watching a video today where a man just got the news that he was getting divorced, and so he gives his wife the house. As soon as he finds, you know, he gives her the house, he then goes out and rents a Caterpillar, and he wrecks the house. So his revenge, was, you want the house? You got the house. But it's going to be in shambles. So he tore it all down. He raised the house.
Wow.
Let me recommend another book, Inez. Dr. Helen Smith wrote a book called Men on Strike. And Christina Hoff Summers does a lot of writing about how boys are disenfranchised in the schools. And, you know, there's a huge drop-off in the college attendance of men because of the hostile environment. You know, they're talking about it's a rape culture, which is absolute bovine scatology. In other words, BS. You know, so men are, and you guys, Inez, I think you said you guys did a show on MGTOW. So,
those are some important
points.
We didn't do the show. Bill has suggested us to do the show, so it has not been done.
I heard you said you guys discussed it. I thought you told me that you guys had discussed MGTOW, but yeah. Okay. Men's issues need to be brought to the fore, and you know, I love women, good women particularly. I love men. I think
doesn't
we
matter.
Need...
Okay, stop right there. Hold on a second. Does it matter what race of woman it is?
No. First of all, if you look up race in a good lexicon, look up race in a good lexicon, and what it will say, no longer in technical use. That's because modern genetics has proven that race is not a valid reality. All humans are of the same species, which is not true of any other species, by the way. All human, and a species is defined, I'll just be brief on this, a species is defined as those who can mate and produce reproductive or fertile offspring. You know, a Chihuahua and a Great Dane, even though they're both dogs, they're not the same species because they can't reproduce. So all humans are of the same species. And Inez, you're a Christian, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it says in the Bible very clearly, God made them all from one blood. One.
I know that.
Uno. So there's really no such thing as race. Race is somewhat atavistic. It's a primitive way. It was used as an economic disadvantage to certain groups and economic empowerment to others. But there's clearly no such thing as race. There's just the human race. That's it. And when people can see each other that way, it takes a lot of those blinders off. Now, we have different ethnicities, I mean, different languages and that sort of thing, different cultures. But that's supposed to be a positive thing. I see people wanting to explore foods and experiences of other cultures. That's what travel is all about, international, interstate, et cetera, et cetera. So the term race is, that's a person who hasn't come forward, who still puts that forth as a valid reality. I would say just look it up. I mean, look, Webster's Collegiate, even dictionary.com is up to date on it.
It doesn't make a difference to me.
Right, I
it
hear
doesn't,
you.
It doesn't make a difference to me because, I mean, in my family, we are very interracial or whatever. He married white, you know, she married black, and she married white, and... And we have a hodgepodge in our family, so it doesn't matter. But the reason why I brought it up is because it was a question a friend had asked me to discuss, but he didn't seem to join in yet. And Joe dropped off, so hopefully he'll be coming back in again, because sometimes his phone does that. But I was going to say, but to me, I mean, I don't care. I mean, you don't like it. That's something you have to deal with, not me. I mean, you know, mixed, you know, relationships or whatever. But no, it don't bother me at all. I mean,
springboard from Proverbs 31 verses 10 through 31, where it says a virtuous woman who can find. Now, maybe women want to say something similar toward men. And we'll critique that as to its accuracy. But a woman of good quality, I think a man is a fool if for some superficial, meaningless theory, hypothesis, whatever, he rejects that woman because, you know, women are not like buses, you know, coming along every few minutes or so. A good woman is undoubtedly very difficult to locate. I mean, you know, they just fit, feminine, and friendly. To find a woman that fits those three criteria is it's quite difficult, as most men will attest.
That's me. I'm fit, I'm feminine, and I'm friendly.
Get out of here.
But I'm serious.
Well, that's good. Teach other women to be that way, and what you'll find happening is, you know, we'll bridge this gap between men and women, because right now men and women in Western society are at war. There's no doubt about it. Go on YouTube or, you know, just in general public. You go in most of your churches, And regardless of what you want to classify the churches as, it's mainly populated by women. The men are not there. What's up with that?
And it's funny you say that, because I was, as a matter of fact, I was looking in the church last Sunday, and it's like, okay, all women. Because a lot of times either men are maybe working, or they've passed away, or they just don't want to be bothered by church. And then once they want to find a woman, a good woman, yes, they'll go to church to find a good woman. But it's like, shoot, you got to almost start all over from square one to get that man to be the person who you want him to be a lot of times. You know, you swipe left so many times, it's like, mm. But I want to, Key, I want you to say hello and join us. Key has just joined in and called in, and so I appreciate her calling in. How are you doing this evening? Is he on mute?
Tell me, what was the percentage when you get a moment, Inez? You mentioned the church. You said all. I know. I don't think you meant all. But what would you say? I say it's about 80-20 now, or maybe a little bit less.
I would say, like, yeah, anywhere between almost. You may have a few deacons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe even 90-10.
90-10. Okay. Okay.
That's what it seemed like to me, because, I mean, just looking at the church, I can see a few scatterings of men. You know, you have some deacons, you have maybe people who are there as security type of thing, but I would say maybe 90-10.
But what about single men? And most of those women belong to the pastor, by the way. That's his harem. For the most part.
You said most of those men belong to the pastor?
No. The women belong to the pastor. That's his harem.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
But, especially from a tithing standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Hmm. Think so? Well, you would know.
Well, just
look
into it and do a little bit of investigating. Yeah, I would say definitely. I've heard about churches when the pastor got married, a large part of the female congregation exited.
Mm. Well, I do think that this pastor here, he's interim pastor, because our other pastor, he wasn't doing well, so this other one stepped in as the interim pastor for the moment. So, I mean, there's a lot of women at the church. I mean, a lot. Like I said, there's a little scattering of men. So, yeah. Let me see. Hold on a second. Let me see if we can hear Key in just a second. But, you know, that's just how that is. But as far as, you know, interracial dating and what have you, you know, there was, I think, in that church, I think there was like one lady who was there for a hot minute. I haven't seen her come back through there. But that's just how that is. But hello, Keith.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
We're good. Mr. Solutions
great.
On the line. Joe was on the line. I don't know. He dropped off, so I don't know what happened to him. Maybe he'll call back in. But when we start talking about church, he drops off, but he might call back in. I might be checking on that other gentleman. But no.
Aren't most of the people
about,
who participate in your program Christians?
I
or
can't
large
answer
part?
That. I mean, in my program, in this show, you mean, Blog Talk Radio?
Yes, this show.
They may be. I mean, I do have a lot of pastors who and reverends who call in because they have the church on Sunday, and Reverend Ron, he does a Bible study on Wednesdays, every other Wednesday. But I don't ask people's, you know, what they and who they believe in. Key, you want to answer that for Mr. Solution? You're a Christian or not?
I classify myself as a spiritual person. Mm-hmm. I believe in God, but I don't claim any one group or religion because I think there's more to it than that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And I was hoping, Eddie would have called in and Dustin was going to call in, but he had to do a couple other things. So, but no, have you ever dated interracially, Keith?
Yes.
Okay.
I have.
And so, okay. So have you had any negative, has there been any negative impact on your relationship at all?
There wasn't, I mean, I don't think there was any negative impact because when you deal with,
mm-hmm.
like, ignorance, which I,
mm-hmm.
I it only made me and the person I was dating closer. I mean, you just laugh at all because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, ignorance is ignorance. I mean,
right.
I, like, my daughter's dad is, you know, black, but, I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, I get, like, really, really hot yellow, so I don't know. It depends on the time of the year. I might pass one versus the other, but I mean, I've been called names for being with black men, and I'm black also. I mean, it may
okay.
be hard to tell because of like my gene pool,
mm-hmm.
but I've never had any problems because of it. It didn't cause any division or anything like that. So
mm-hmm.
I personally
mm-hmm.
not encountered any negativity because of it. I mean, people's
okay.
ignorance is their ignorance.
Okay, okay. And that's, yeah, that's true. So were you rejected by family members or friends or anything, or you, they just acted, like you say, ignorant?
Well, not in my family. It was just like if we were out, then
mm-hmm.
people, I mean, would make comments. They'd be like, oh, why would you have hamburger when you could have steak? Or be like, well, you should stick with your own kind. Or in the instance where the derogatory terms were spit at me, you know, I
mm-hmm.
was called like a nigga lover or whatever. And, I mean, to me, it was all funny. I mean, I happen to like hamburger. So it's a lot healthier than steak. So, I mean, I just laugh at all.
You want to comment on that, Mr. Solution?
Well, I mean, I've dated people of other views, if you want to call that, or from other regions, if you want to
okay.
call them Caucasians, Mexicans or Hispanics, Asians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I've dated the whole gamut of women, and
mm-hmm.
it's just compatibility as far as I'm concerned. Now, some women, they have different personalities. Some may be a little bit louder, a little bit more aggressive. I don't like an aggressive woman personally. I'm
mm-hmm.
aggressive enough or assertive
yes,
enough. I don't want
mm-hmm.
an assertive woman. That just won't work.
No, you like a docile woman? Somebody who you can
well,
control?
Well, I like a controlled woman. I like a woman who knows, you know, where and when to
her
turn
place.
It on, whatever she needs to do, you know. But I don't like a woman that's confrontational, no, with me or others particularly.
Okay, and so were all these women the 3 F's, fit, feminine, and friendly?
Well, remember there's an evolution that takes place in people, and I didn't know as much as I know now, but they were generally agreeable, at least at the start. You know, a lot of people send their representatives, and so that's why I say it's good to spend quality time to get to know a person in basic in basic areas. But I would say for the most part, like, I won't date an overweight woman, a grossly overweight woman, and I can only see the weight when it surpasses, say, 20, 25, 30 pounds. You can't see necessarily, or at least I can't see 10 pounds on a person. But okay. And even then, it's the attitude. I mean, if a woman was 20 pounds overweight and she was working on it and she had a good attitude, I mean, I could work with her on it. But if she just, you know, because it's healthy. A person should want to be of proper weight because it's healthier for them. But I don't find a difference in American women, and I think Joe said this earlier. He said they were a pain in the ass. Now, I wouldn't say it that way per se, although I don't totally disagree with that. But I think American women have been bred to have similar attitudes in terms of dealing with men. It's like getting the bag, you know, they're trying to get, they're materialistic, they're overly materialistic.
Who is?
Western women tend to be, now it can vary from woman to woman, but on the aggregate, Western women tend to be overly materialistic. Like we alluded to, I think you mentioned it a moment ago, the three sixes, 6 feet, six pack, six figures. You know, that is gross materialism.
Okay. But that's what you have talked about. That's what you say women wanted. That's what you said in our conversation on last Thursday.
Well, yeah, but see, you got to realize that's unrealistic. Only about roughly 10%, well, really less than 10% of men would fit that particular model.
Okay.
So you would have... go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to... Brother Eddie is on the line with us as well. How you doing, Eddie?
Good evening. How's everybody? Hey, Doc.
Good.
Fine. Hi,
good,
Eddie.
Good. And Key's on the line as well. So there's just the three of us, or four of us thus far.
Hello.
And Joe was on the line. He left.
Hey, Key. Joe left?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. I don't know. I don't know if Mr. Solutions could have him call back in. I don't know.
How you doing, Key?
Hey,
Mr. Solutions.
Okay.
Hey, how you doing, sir? This is Eddie. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Very good.
And what we're talking about this evening, Eddie, is... go ahead. Key, how are you?
No, I'm fine. Glad you made it.
Okay. we're talking about mixed races love challenges. And so we're talking about interracial couples and what they experience in public, and if any of us have dated interracially, and sounds like everybody has. I don't think I've asked you or had ever asked you that question, if you've ever dated interracially.
Mm-hmm.
You have?
Yeah. Most of my friends are very upset.
Okay. So that's what I was going to ask. So how was it? Did you get, like, hurtful and insulting comments, you know, derogatory gestures? What happened?
More derogatory gestures than, hateful statements.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And they told you to stick with your own and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, a bit of that.
Mm-hmm. Do you mind me asking what ethnicity she was?
Puerto Rican.
Okay.
And German Italian, whose great grandfather, was African.
Oh, interesting.
And that pissed her off, you know. She went over her her father's mother's house, and and she went over there. She was looking through some old pictures. She said, "Oh, come here." She went over there, and she said, "This is your great-grandfather, no, your great-great-grandfather." He was an African, tall, dark-skinned man.
Okay.
And when I saw her, she was mad. I said, "What's wrong with you? Don't you tell nobody." I said, "Tell nobody what?" "My great-grandfather's African."
And this is a German woman, German-Italian woman.
Yeah, she's German and Italian. Her mother was German and Italian. Her father was Italian.
Okay. So, Mr. Solutions, do you want to give us the statement that you had given earlier about, you know, there's only one race?
Well, that's not just a statement. That's a scientific fact, Inez. Like I say, pull up dictionary.com so you won't think I'm a solo on this.
Well,
or Merriam-Webster's collegiate lexicon.
I already know. I understand that. I mean, I'll pull it up and give you the definition if that's what you want me to do. Not a problem.
Well, the physical makeup, actually, if I may say, is different. We are carbon-based. Most of them aren't carbon-based.
Come on.
Look it up.
All humans life period as we know it is carbon-based, ipso facto.
Caucasians aren't carbon-based people.
No.
Well, I apologize for going there, but, yeah.
Come on.
It's not important. It's really not important. Not to me anyway.
You shouldn't do that.
Well, if it's science, I don't have scholarship. I've never been to college. I just read a lot. You going to condemn me because I don't have a degree?
No, of course. No. I'm not condemning you for anything. I'm thinking that statement is unfounded is basically it. I mean, are you a Christian?
No, I'm not.
Are you a theist? Do you believe God exists?
I believe there's a supreme being.
Okay, all right.
I believe
Do you think that
I believe
supreme
there's
being...
I believe there's few.
Yeah, okay, one other question. Do you think that supreme being is most depicted in terms of in the scriptures and what's called the Judeo-Christian Bible?
Judeo-Christian Bible. No,
yeah,
you mean
the
like
Old
his
and
name
New Testament.
Being, you mean his name being Yahweh and his.
No. We've settled that. Yeah. In other words, do you think the Christian Bible, or the Judeo-Christian Bible, Old and New Testament, is a good record of God and God's dealing with His people?
No, that book is coded number one to me. It's coded.
Okay, all right.
And,
okay, fine.
There was a lot of books omitted from it.
Okay, all right. Well, okay. All I can say is, look, I don't know how familiar you are with the species. Are you familiar with the definition of a species?
What are you speaking on, like,
you know,
homo sapiens,
class,
sapiens.
Order, species? The zoological or the biological classification of plants and animals. Don't let it be
Some
so
animal.
Hard to pin you down. I'm trying to go somewhere with this. Okay, I'll just go ahead and say what I have to say. All right. Look, a species, all human beings, all inclusive, are of the same species. That's not true of any other mammal. Because human beings, the one species, stand alone that can have intercourse and produce fertile offspring. So right there, under the scientific rubric, you have a species that is unique in human beings. Are you familiar with that now that I've said it?
No.
Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Well, do the rest of you understand what I'm saying or not?
Oh, yeah, and I can read you the definition of what race is under Merriam-Webster. If you want me to?
Yeah, sure. I would love to hear it. Go ahead.
Okay, it says any one of the groups that humans are often divided into based on physical traits regarded as common among people of shared ancestry. That's the first one. And then it says in the 2020 U.S. Census about race, of course, about is based on how you identify. Second, the race categories generally reflect social definitions in the U.S. and are not an attempt to define race biologically, anthropologically, or genetically. We recognize that the race categories include racial and national origins and sociocultural groups. So.
It doesn't say anywhere in there, no longer in technical use?
Nope. Not on what I'm looking at. It says www.merriam-webster.com dictionary/race. So
that's a good one. That's certainly a good one. I go by. Usually the collegiate is considered the best. I debated a college English major on the best lexicon. Well, pull up, just for comparison, dictionary.com. And note what it says.
Dictionary.com.
But we can go ahead with your subject. I mean, people can, you know, call it whatever they want. I'm just saying, I think Martin Luther King nailed it when he said a person should be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. And I think it was Victor Hugo that said there are only two classes of people, the decent and the indecent.
Mm. What were you saying, Eddie? Or trying to say?
I don't know. I don't really know. You know, there's so many things that demonstrate that we are.
Okay.
A different nationality, a different phenotype, just like the Ashkenazis. Ashkenazis don't even classify themselves as Caucasian, actually.
Well, I'm sorry, this is Eddie?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Eddie, what do you call the offspring of two of those people, like you say, what did you call them, the non-carbon-based people? What do you call them? Do you call them Europeans, Caucasian, or white? What nomenclature do you use?
Caucasians.
Okay, Caucasians, fine. All right, so when they mate with a person that you consider carbon-based and they produce a child, what is that child, in your opinion?
Mixed.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is the child... What? Is the child equal to...
Is the child considered melanated or is it considered a Caucasian?
I'm trying to get to you. Is the child considered superior or different or better, the combination of the two? I'm just trying to understand where you are coming from.
Well, the child is basically mixed. I mean, you know, science has said that blonde hair... and blue eyes is a deficiency.
Okay.
Melanated people can have, carbon-based people can have almost any color eyes and sometimes almost any color hair. And it's partly, and it's various reasons why, but the reality is albinism basically came from carbon-based people. Leprosy came from a deficient mixture of both. What nationality basically has issues with leprosy and skin diseases is Caucasian. More so, for some apparent reason, Irish. I don't even think French people have that issue as much as Irish people do. And it's no disrespect to Irish people. You know?
I'm sorry. Let me know when you finish. I just wanted to jump in a moment.
I'm complete. I yield.
Well, I was just thinking that I was reading about the Amish. I'm very intrigued about them. And they do a lot of interbreeding. I asked the search engine, what do they do? How do they handle that? And they really don't. They try to get some medical treatment, but they don't try to necessarily avoid it. Because I wanted to see, it is good to mix up the gene pool. I mean, I've taken biology, zoology, botany. I've taken all those. And so it is good. You heard the term inbred. Now, human beings, if they have a recessive trait and they keep breeding, that recessive trait will become dominant. It'll start to manifest itself in horrible ways. Usually it incapacitates the person intellectually and physically. So I might say to you, there's no such thing as a pure race of people. That's a fiction. And it is good for people to mix up their genes. That's healthy. Miscegenation is good. Go ahead.
Okay. You use the term race. Which race is the oldest on the planet? Oh, but you would now basically understand my question because of the fact that you said all people are of the same. You know, what's your
Oh, you finished that. I said all humans are of the same species. And I'll just go with the science. I'm a science type guy, and I don't know if you're familiar with Francis Collins. He was head of, National Institute of Health, and he headed the Human Genome Project. So, and Gregor Mendel, you can go back to him, the famous geneticist. So we understand that the lighter colored people came from the darker colored people. Dark skin color is dominant. In other words, melanin is dominant. It doesn't mean the person is superior, you know, because they have equal personhood. But in terms of skin color and expression, melanin is a dominant gene.
Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, once you drop ink into milk, it's not going to get lighter. It's just going to still, it's going to get gray, or it's going to change colors. Because you can't, unless you are bleached, you are going to get darker. My mama did an experiment on that. So I had all this darkness. She dropped a drop of bleach into all the darkness, and you know, it became white. But if you do drop a black into all white, taboo, you're done. You get stressed out, and you're not going to get, unless you clean the gene pool. Other than that, you're just going to keep on getting darker and darker and darker. You start out with 100%, 50%, and so on and so forth down the line. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I know it's a scientific fact, since you're talking about science, that there's no nationality on the planet that can make melanated people, dark-skinned, furrowed hair people, but another dark-skinned, furrowed hair person. Prime example, our hair curls counterclockwise, and we are considered nine strands. Asiatic are six strands. Caucasian is one strand, meaning it just lays flat.
Mm-hmm.
What is your spiritual belief? What's your name, brother, sir?
They call him Mr. Solution.
Okay. Mr. Solution.
Oh, yes, sir.
What is your spiritual or religious belief? How do you classify yourself as far as that's concerned?
Well, I'm a Christian. I have Jewish heritage, so I'm a son of Abraham.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, Abraham is the father of faith, father of the Jewish faith. So I'm a son of Abraham for sure.
That was going to be my next question. So you actually believe that the Ashkenazis and the 12 tribes of Israel is the same people? But
no,
I guess
no,
because
I'm,
you have
okay,
that in
I'm
your
not
ancestry.
Saying, I'm not saying that.
Well, if Abraham is supposed to be one of the descendants of the 12 tribes, then if you're saying that Abraham was an Ashkenazi, then it's evident that you're saying that they are.
Well, I don't want to get really bogged down in that. You know, Abraham had many sons. He had sons by Sarah, which was considered of the lineage that God was blessing, and also the Arabs by his other son. I forget that son's name right now. But I don't know if Inez wants to go down this particular path. I know I don't. But I mean,
hold
I just
on,
leave
hold
it
on.
At.
Hold on. For those of you who don't know what I can't say the word.
Ashkenazi?
Eddie, yes, please Ashkenazi. Define what that is. Yes, define what that
is. Ashkenazi are a nationality of people that basically came through Europe and the Americas by way of Russia. Even Putin.
Okay.
Before that situation in Ukraine, asked them to come home. They didn't respond to him until that incident started to happen in the Ukraine. And then a so-called rabbi or a few of them went to talk to Putin. You know, they're really trying to make him seem like such a bad guy. I didn't say he was a good guy. But, you know, all of these corporations, they all do things to benefit themselves in that invisible hand. So, and they've been milking the Ukraine for years. And Ukraine was wrong for turning the water off on Russia. You know Russia's pipeline of water comes through the Ukraine? Isn't that interesting? But what
okay.
were you talking about, Doc? Let's go back to your reason for being on the show tonight.
The reason for being on the show tonight is talking about mixed races, love challenges. That's what we're talking about. And so these may be
like
some of the challenges that we have. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I like to put something on the table in reference to that.
Before we do, I believe B is out there as well. B, you want to say hello?
Hello. Good evening, everyone.
Hello, welcome
Sister
to the
B.
show.
Greetings.
Hey.
And,
good to hear
so
your voice.
We have, yes, it is very good. And we have Mr. Solutions, we have your sister Key, we have Bruh Eddie, and we have B on the line and myself thus far. So go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah, I was just going to say, as far as the text in the Bible, it's interesting that David was so-called a deity of the Bible's favorite. And to build a place to secure the Ark of the Covenant, he couldn't build a temple. So his son Solomon, was the one who was sanctioned to build the temple. And his deity told him that you should only lay with women of the tribes. And Solomon laid with all kind of women. If anything, that was his transgression. Do you agree? The Solution?
Who are you asking? Okay.
Is that Mr. Solution? That's his name?
Yeah. No. I don't disagree with that. Yes. The record is clear.
Okay.
Yeah, but
Now let me just add.
Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Let me just add one caveat, and that is this: when God discriminated against people, it was never based on race. It was so-called race. It was always it was always based on whether or not they accepted Yahweh as the one true and living God. So it was always based on quote-unquote religion and never ethnicity, as it were. Because I gave the example where it says even in the New Testament, God made all men and women from one blood. So Adam and Eve were the progenitors of all human beings. I accept that. You know, and Jesus quoted out of Genesis, he said, he who made them in the beginning, you know, made them male and female. So there you go.
Jesus also said all men are gods. And Jesus also said these things I do, you will do them and more.
Right. And that has to be interpreted in context, and in a sense, we are gods. Like, for example, parents are gods to their children. But that's God with a little G. That's not the one who has aseity, who exists by himself. You know, all of us are creatures being dependent. God is the one independent being. Go ahead.
In your eyes.
Well, in logic, philosophy, and in science, you know, we've got to stop somewhere. But in other words, that's, you know, these subjects are so rich, we can go a lot of places. No, but God is the
but
one.
I'd like to add one thing briefly.
Sure.
The other day when you were on, you emphasized on some of your favorite women are some of the best experiences you've had with women. Was women of other cultures, basically the Dominican Republic, maybe even a little bit of Canada, things of that nature, but all, they're basically Asiatic nations because they still walk in their culture. All of the West is basically a melting pot because they've been manipulated, you know, abused, downtrodden, and most of us don't even know who our mother and father is, speaking about honor thy mother and father. And most people aren't striving to find out because they're more comfortable, and no disrespect to anybody, they're more comfortable classifying themselves as African-American, black, and things of that nature. But I'm sure everybody that looks like you and me, if they trace their ancestry, they will find out that they have indigenous blood. Indian, the word Indian is a fiction. It's a corporation construct, just like the United States, just like black, just like white. Not a status, it's not a nationality. It's a corporate fiction. But if people would
corporate
do
fiction.
Just like Walmart, General Foods, NBC, ABC, CBS, Nike, Puma, those are corporations, just like the United States Corporation. This is America. That's why I prefer to say that, or Turtle Island. We were here. I feel that this is the real, if there is a real Jerusalem or a real Israel, I feel that it is this landmass, and I'm going to tell you why. In the 80s, I ran into a Moorish brother named Aziz L. He had maps of this landmass from the 1300s. He had some notes that I've never seen. I've seen them from him, but I never did research on them. It's supposed to have been Moorish notes and Christopher Columbus notes, and he said that they were looking for Israel. The Israel in Jerusalem was founded during Hitler's campaign, or right after Hitler's campaign, the 40s or something like that. Those Ashkenazis was thinking about either moving into South Africa or Jerusalem. That place where it's called Jerusalem is actually winter homes, summer homes, excuse me, for the Kemites. All of that land over there used to belong to the Kemites, which in the Bible, which is a Greek word, they call it Egypt, which means bondage. Very interesting.
Very interesting. So,
what do you sisters have to say about that? I'd like to hear what they say so I can just, you know,
is this
pass the wheel off.
We can start with Keith.
She has nothing to say. I mean, that's just like deep, deep. I've never really given it that much thought, honestly. Honest to God, I'm not. I mean, it's interesting, you know, to learn new things. I'm an avid learner. So I appreciate the information, but I have no clue. No clue.
Okay. B?
She'll probably
still
need it.
I
might have been go ahead.
No, what he is asking me to respond to, because I'm here in Egypt, Jerusalem, all kinds of stuff, and I was like, and then I heard your question about mixed relationships having struggles. So I was like, what am I supposed to have an opinion on?
Do you know if you have any indigenous ancestry? American indigenous, that is.
I don't know. Ask my older sister.
Key, you the oldest?
I am the oldest. In my family, on my mom's side, they're Creole, so they're Native French blended. And so, yeah, we have some of them.
Do you have Indian as well?
Yeah, my grandmother said there was. I couldn't tell you which variation. I haven't heard it since I was, like, coming up. So I couldn't tell you, but, yeah, there is. I mean, with their coal black curly hairs and straight hairs and blue eyes. So, yeah, they're in there.
Okay. Interesting.
He said they're in there.
I say Choctaw, Washita.
No, mine is, well, it could be. But mine is home, and I'm from, well, my mom was from New Orleans as well, that area down there. And it's H-O-U-M-A Indians is what you were told, but then my brother says, no, we're not, so I don't know. I'm just here. I'm just a little black, whatever, Creole child from my mom and daddy from New Orleans and Mississippi. That's what I know.
Okay.
Now, we go deep into, we have our lineage and whatever, and my mama had done our history, and that's what she came up with us, was we were from the Homa, the tribe. So that's where we are. But so that's why it doesn't matter to me who I, you know, it should matter to me who I date, but I mean, we're all one, so we're all mixed up anyway. We just have melanated and non-melanated people. Some been in the sun, some haven't been in the sun, some have gotten stranded out. Go ahead.
No, I was saying it is interesting that in that King James Version of the Bible, it says, honor thy mother and father, that way thy days will be long. on the earth.
Upon
that
the
speaks
land
on
say,
your...
Let God give it to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and your inheritance also.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that is important, your inheritance.
Mm-hmm. Who we, yeah. Who we pass down our lineage to, you know. As you had said earlier, we talked about, you know, we are gods to our children. It's like, okay, because that's who we look, who they look up to. And, you know, until they get to be some baby's kids and they don't act right, then you want to do something to them. But other than that, you know, this is all about respect. But the show this evening is entitled Mixed Races Love Challenges. And so with our mixed races that we have and have on the line, it's rather interesting because now we're getting a lesson on, is the question is, are we really a mixed race or are we just one? That, to me, is what it boils down to. So Mr. Solutions and Mr. Eddie can talk about, you know, are we one race? Yes or no? Because we came from one seed, Adam and Eve. So basically, we are marrying our own sisters and brothers. Is that not correct?
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't have to.
Because if you really think about it, mm-hmm. when Cain murdered his brother,
mm-hmm.
he was cast out of the so-called garden. It says so many things in
right.
that book that really just makes the hair stand
mm-hmm.
up on the back of my neck. And there's no disrespect to anybody, but I'm just saying.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, when Cain slew his brother, he was cast out of the garden before his so-called mother and father was. And he was scarred, which could be
mm-hmm.
leprosy or Caucasianism.
Okay.
Because he said, he asked for mercy. He said, because of my scars,
mm-hmm.
the people outside of the garden will see my scars and they will hunt me. Right?
Okay.
So, that's number one. If Cain and Adam and Eve, there's some people that says Eve wasn't Adam's first wife also. But anyway, Adam and Eve, I'm going too far as usual. Why y'all let me drive? Y'all need to give me a car with a quarter of a tank of gas. And no gas
no,
station
no
for miles.
Key. No, well, no, with no key. Just sit there in the passenger side.
Or don't let me sit in the front seat. Put me in the back. Show for me, baby. Show for me.
Right with it.
No, but I mean, you have some interesting points and you bring up some interesting information. So, I mean, it's all legitimate in what we talk about because, you know, we talk about different things and then it makes you lead to another topic and it leads to something else and it leads to something else. So it's all retrospect to basically what we talk about. So that's why I let you go on and say what you say, because it makes us think about, is there really other life out there? Do we really know the truth? Then we go think about, what is it, the Twilight Zone and all that other kind of stuff, you know? So I'm just saying that because we don't know everything unless we study it. And Mr. Solution
right.
and you have a, you know, seem to have a deep background in studying different things. And so that's why I let you all conversate. You know, I hate that word. I say converse. Conversate
mm-hmm.
is now a new word in the Bible. So anyway, converse, because you bring out different information that maybe we need to make us dig and find out the answers to for ourselves. If you get anything, get an understanding. So if you don't understand about what your ethnicity is, what your background is, then dig deep. And so, Mr. Solutions and you, you know, make me think about, I mean, Mr. Solutions uses all these big words. It's like, okay, if I knew how to spell them all, I'd probably write them all down. But it's like, okay, I get the gist of what he's talking about. So that's how I feel. So we still are still talking about mixed races, love challenges, because we're being challenged by the two of you. You know, as far as, are we really mixed races or are we one race? Am I not correct?
Well, I'm not saying I'm mixed, but yeah, I'm just,
you know,
I'm just emphasizing on the fact that most of the information that's been told is the benefit of the people. Just like, for example, the document of discovery by the Pope. And the appeasement to the Pope from those rulers of England right now, well, she passed. But anyway, they're all contractual organizations. If you look up the document of discovery, the Pope said he owns all of the earth from the center even to the heavens and all in between. So he told soldiers to go throughout the world, and anywhere that he finds people who do not worship their deities, do with them what you will to put them into submission, basically, so that they would worship their deities. Then once you worship their deity, your tithes and all that you own belongs to the Pope of the Vatican. Since that lady in Europe passed, they said that she owned, I think, almost 37% of the world, the land masses.
Okay, what lady are you talking about? The Queen?
That's what they call her. But she has been...
That's wrong.
I go again. Yeah, no. I yield. I'm going to stop.
Go ahead. No.
Oh,
If you
do the research, I think I'd rather start, you know, emphasizing on that. If you do the research, you find out what their bloodlines are, what their ancestry was. Scotland and Wales, if you look at the symbology, ancient symbology of all landmasses, and then you look at ancient symbology and coat of arms of original indigenous people, and you'll see they're exactly the same. And the Moors says there never was a time when man was not. Even so-called Jesus said he called himself the Son of Man. In Hindustan or India, man means mind, which is your governing faculty. It's your mind. It's not your brain. So if he called himself Son of Man, then he's saying he was son of the mind, because everybody who has a religious belief, it's number one, it's a belief, and they want you to confess these things. Just like going back to children, their first gods is their parents. So who teaches a child religion but their parents? Who teaches a child what to eat and what not to eat but its parents? But if you look at sometimes what children go through as they grow and develop, they are troubled most of the time, because if something innately in them causes them discomfort to what they're being given or shared by their parents, parents don't necessarily look at those things as just like what they say, just like what my grandmother used to say to me. I don't care what you think, you're going to mind, going back to that word again. And your mind. Things trouble the soul and the spirit that isn't accurate for that individual. But we do things to get along sometimes. I yield. What was you going to say? Somebody's going to say something. I'm going to go to you.
I'm Mr. Solution.
Unless it was someone else, I thought there was a question raised regarding where did Adam get his wife. I mean, I have an answer to that if that question was raised. If not, you guys can continue as you were, because it's a good conversation. But was that a question or was that not a question?
Here's my question. What was the answers in regards to the actual question instead of the Bible study for tonight? I'm just wondering what was the answer in regards to people's personal experiences in dealing with mixed relationship challenges. Unless,
I apologize. I apologize. When I eat hummus, I kind of trip, and I'm eating hummus. I apologize.
Yeah. I may be able to respond to it if I could just get.
No, it's not important. I didn't say where did Eve come from. I said Adam had a wife before Eve is what I actually said, but it doesn't speak to that in the King James Version of the Bible. But it's not important. I agree with what the sister said. We need to go back to topic because it's already going
sure,
on 11.
Sure.
So.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that is dealing with people of, she used the term race, which is, now, again, I challenge you guys to look up species and what that means, because human beings are of the same species. And I would say a good woman, there's a sort of natural order that men and women fall into when they get together, unless they've been terribly influenced by nefarious socialization. But, I mean, just with the power.
Can you talk of personal experiences? I mean, because the generalization, my question was, and you can use species, aliens, whatever form you want to use. I was just wondering if you had personal experience in regards to her original question in regards to mixed relationship challenges.
Yeah, well, that's what I was getting to, but I was laying a foundation, if you don't mind.
I kind of do mind because it went on this tangent for like over an hour, so I was wondering if
you... But this is not a tangent. This is germane to the central theme here, if you'll just allow me.
Okay.
Yeah, just like a lion. If you guys can imagine a lion, his majesty, his power, that sort of thing. When a man is with a woman, you know, his usually most men are taller than women, they're bigger than women, they're stronger than women, and they're more daring. They tend to be great risk takers. So what I'm saying is, unless human beings have been influenced to be of another mind, they kind of naturally fall into certain roles. And certainly if they have children, you know, there's nothing more helpless than a pregnant woman. So if we just stand back and look at the situation, there is sort of a natural order to the way men and women should interact. They should interact harmoniously. And I'm saying a good woman, no matter what her ethnicity is, if she is compatible with a man, there's a certain order that they fall into, a certain roles, and they work together for their mutual benefit and the benefit of any children, should children come into that relationship. So I think it should be rather common. I mean, when I stand back and look at people, I see much more likenesses than I do differences, personally. And so when I related to women, if they were good women of other ethnicities, and many of them are, there was no problem. You know, as long as a woman is not hostile, I don't mind buying dinner for a woman. I don't mind it. I think she should mean something to me specifically before I commence doing it, because my resources are valuable and they're not just to be strewn out there like, I don't know, leaflets of paper. So I think there's sort of a natural order. That's my answer to the roles that men and women play when they're operating sanely, sensibly, and maturely. What do you think?
Okay, you talk about species. A species is a class of individuals having some common characteristics or qualities, distinct sort or kind. That's what that is. Biology, the major subdivision of a genus or subgenus, regarded as the basic category or biological classification composed of related individuals that resemble one another, are able to breed among themselves but are not able to breed with members of another species. Logic.
Right.
One of the classes of things being, one of the classes of things included with other classes in a genus. The set of things within one of these classes. So, that's what that species is,
now,
and that's through dictionary.com.
Right, right. Now, Inez, I would just like to draw your attention. Maybe you want to emphasize it more, but the most important aspect of species is the ability to produce fertile offspring, because without that, any race, any group goes extinct if they can't reproduce themselves. So that is germane. That is just critical.
And that's fine, but we're talking about challenges in mixed race, you know, whatever this is.
Yeah, but what I was doing is just making a common denominator to show that, I mean, it's fine if you guys want to skip over that, but I was just showing that foundation, that fundamental common denominator. That was why I was emphasizing that.
So a class of individuals having some common characteristics or qualities, distinct sort or kind. Is that what you're saying that I need to emphasize?
No, I was saying their ability
stating
to reproduce
that.
Is the most.
He's stating that,
yeah.
And that's another reason why a lot of nationalities are trying to get back into our gene pool, because we're the strongest, most robust, and the most ancient on the planet. And if their genes are becoming deficient, if they are not reproducing in those high numbers, just like what's going on in, I think it is Louisiana. Is it Louisiana, Texas, and Indiana, they are striving to reclassify what they call black people because of the numbers are shrinking as far as Caucasians, because they're not reproducing at a high enough rate. They're down to almost 6%, even though our numbers are staying the same around 3 or 4%. But because of the size of the population, and the health of the children without the pokeology, which is, you know, modern-day, you know, COVID or whatever, testemic, they're fearful that divine order is taking place. But overall,
okay,
people are basically people, you know. So it matters and it doesn't. But
right.
Okay.
An African-American, the definition is an African, an American with black African ancestry or relating to.
Well, that's what they're saying, but there's been a lot of people that are basically Caucasian. They said that they're born in Africa, but they live in America,
correct,
therefore, and have their citizenship here. So they're calling themselves African-American. Okay. And African-American is basically a misnomer for us. They found a lot of ships. I heard they found another ship because of a waterway in Mississippi has basically, the water has kind of disappeared, so to speak, and
okay,
they found
so
a ship there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they found a ship in embedded in the mud, but that's still not a slave ship.
Hmm.
But they're never going to find one because they don't exist. But anyway, go ahead. I yield.
And we're going to have you talk one night about life and stuff like that. But, no, the reason why I brought this up is because a friend of mine had asked, you know, what are some of the challenges that, you know, people have when they're dating or what have you. And he was saying that, you know, does a black man ask a white woman about, you know, what does she bring to the table? You know, they'll ask a black woman that, but do they ask a white woman that? Can y'all answer me that question, the men? Mr. Solutions or Eddie?
Well, I think that's a good question to ask because you're talking about a unity of resources and abilities and this sort of thing. Now, I think I see what you're getting at is that one ethnicity of person is just assumed to be more resourceful or to have a greater dignity than the other. Is that pretty much what you're getting at? Or what that question you asked was getting at?
Well, basically what it is you know, when we go out on a date with a black guy, a black person, and one of our same, you know, melanation, you know, we'll ask her, you know, girl, what are you going to bring to the table if we get together, you know, how are you going to enhance me, what are you going to do for me, you know, type of thing. But is that question asked of anybody else, a Puerto Rican girl, a Latinx girl, a Caucasian girl, a Asian girl, anybody, do they ask that question of her? Or of them?
Well, I think that's a good question regardless myself, but I'm going to bifurcate again, if you don't mind. And according to Ship Manifest, only 4% of former Africans were brought to the American shores. The vast majority were taken to Brazil and the West Indies. And so I just think, you know, if you're in a culture where that question is pretty much already settled, there's no reason to ask it. So I would ask you, would you consider the descendants of former Africans, say, for example, in Brazil or the West Indies, would you consider them, quote-unquote, black? Now, I often say black has no epistemology, it has no ontology, right? It has no information, and it has no being. But people can give being to things that don't have being inherently. In other words, they can reify things. But would you consider, say, a woman in Brazil as a melanated woman in Brazil or the West Indies, would you consider her, quote-unquote, black?
Ms. Inez, this is Cece. I think in order for you to get an answer to your question in regards to why do a black man ask a black woman that and not a white woman, or I think you would have to ask a man that actually have done that. Because a person who have not experienced that, have done that, I don't think they can speak on why they do it, right? It's an assumption or probably like a thought in regards to why people see that. And so who knows? I think that would have to come from like the friend who asked you that. It's like, was he one to have asked a woman that of a different race? You know, and then what was the response in regards to why he did it? You know, I think that's the only way you can kind of get the answer in regards to why would a man ask one particular woman this and not the other?
Well, while I agree with you to an extent, I think the question, since if we understand the language, the question.
Hold on. Mr. Solutions, hold on. She's not finished talking. Go ahead, B.
Yes. Because my girl is like in with what I have experienced, and I believe in making my statements and speaking on my own experiences, not some Wikipedia or some research based stuff. Because mind you, everything is up for interpretation based on who wrote it. That's why they have more than one book, more than one dictionary. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's always changing.
One type of interpretation.
Exactly. And each person, if you even ask a word, it's up to that person's interpretation or perception of that and how they define
it. Correct.
And none of us probably define it the same. And I'm going to say my I statement, right?
Okay. Okay.
But in regards to being a woman that has been asked that question,
okay.
I did ask the guy who asked me that. I was like, do you ask every woman that? I did ask.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Right? I asked. I was like, well, do you ask every woman that? And I was like, and before you ask somebody that, maybe you should lead by answering it for yourself in regards to what your purpose is in this relationship that you're pursuing. Because, mind you, if it's something that has to be like that, maybe you should start off with that. Because, mind you, the individuals that I have dealt with,
mm-hmm.
we often talk about or have spoken about those representatives and not the true person. A lot of people ask you all of that stuff just to see, and I'm going to say I have been asked that stuff,
mm-hmm.
and if I felt like it was only asked in regards to where I am in life. And I was like,
okay.
Well, that is something that you can see throughout the process, because what I do for one relationship may have changed in regards to this or that and other, or I may be in a different place. So, but I did ask
mm-hmm.
him that, and all he did was laugh, actually. He just laughed. He didn't even have a response. So that was my experience in regards to that question. He just laughed.
Okay. So, Eddie, you said that you've dated, you know, Puerto Rican, you know, other women. Have you ever asked them that question?
What was the question again, please?
What do you bring to the table? You know, if we're going to be together, what are you going to bring to the table? How are you going to enhance me? How are you going to, you know, I won't say build me up, but, you know, how will we, are we going to be equal in this or, you know, that type of a question?
No, I've never asked a woman that question.
Okay.
Honestly, I've never asked a woman that question.
Okay. Thank you. See, has that been asked of you?
Not ever.
Okay. And a lot of times some people use, I'm thinking a man who doesn't have much sometimes may ask that question. And I'm thinking a man who has a lot may ask that question. So, you know, a person who's on the same plane as a woman wouldn't ask a woman that question because he wants that woman. I don't think he cares about her finances. I don't think. But then again, I'm not that person either. No one has ever asked me that question because I've worked at IBM. You know, I'm going to get paid. I worked for Blue Cross Blue Shield. I got paid. I worked where I worked when I was working here. I got paid. No one has ever asked me, you know, what you going to bring to the table, how you going to enhance me, how you going to build me up, what you going to do for me. Why are you asking me? You stepped to me. I didn't step to you. So why are you asking me what I'm going to give to you when you step to me? You ought to be. I ought to be asking you that question. Am I right, ladies?
But I, you know what, I think people, I believe that you will see what a person brings. I was like,
mm-hmm.
because mind you, I was like, a person can have all the riches in the world and bring you nothing but a headache and heartache and a whole lot of drama and crap. And a person can be, you know, making it, you know, just enough to get by and bring you nothing but happiness, joy, and peace. So I think dealing with the person on a one-on-one basis speaks for itself, because I was like, people can tell you all kinds of things. That why you think
mm-hmm.
there's so much stuff out here where they catfishing and everything else, because people can be anything they want with words, but their actions
right.
actually
speak louder.
Speak volume in regards to what
mm-hmm.
what a person brings. I was like, it will be demonstrated. Will you bring
mm-hmm.
me peace? I mean, I, like all of that stuff. And I had not heard everybody response to your question about the main question about
the initial question.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't hearing what you were talking about.
Oh, yeah, with your initial question. But one of the things while I was
mm-hmm.
listening, when I saw the question, I instantly thought about
mm-hmm.
a lot. I have dated people from many different backgrounds and colors and whatever else, but it was more of the culture that was a more hindrance to the relationship than anybody's skin color. It was like a culture. And in regards to me, like being a Hispanic male, it was a very dominant, I take care of you, not only financially, but the house or whatever, but it was also, I don't want you to work and I want you to take care of the house. But he was like a friend of mine was like, that's an old school mindset. But he was very much like, I am going to be the provider. I don't want you to work. Mm-hmm. And my thing was, of course, and then his family would visit. And when they visited, he would never want to serve me in front of them. Because he was like, that is frowned upon for a man to serve a woman and his family.
Okay.
And I thought it was funny. Because I was like, well, and he was like, well, if I was to take you to my mom's house, you would have to go in the kitchen with the women and then instead of stay out with the men. And I'm like, and yet, and I was like, and how I grew up, you don't have everybody in your kitchen, you know? So I was like, so
right.
It was like cultural wise was more of the problem, the issues.
Mm-hmm.
Is the clashes. It clashed a lot, you know.
Right.
And so that was the biggest thing that I have experienced in regards to relationship, you know, from all kinds of people with multiple colors. Now, I never date no Asian.
Okay.
And I wouldn't know
not yet,
that. Like,
not,
I never did that.
Not yet in the right.
No, I don't think I mentioned it, but I was like, so, but I was like, but I, you know, and mind you, I was like, because I didn't look at a person color. I mean, my family is made up of all kinds of things, such as the blonde hair, blue eyes,
right.
and everything in between. So we was never raised to look at that. So I always just,
neither was I,
you know, I just went out on a date based upon that person asking me and if we vibed or not. Period. Not saying, oh, I'm going to date this white guy. That was never like, it never even crossed my mind that, oh, I'm dating him because he's white. You know, no, it was never even crossed my mind in that regard. No.
Okay. Has everybody on the line been married? Raise your hand or say yes, no, you know, answer questions.
I have
twice. Eddie?
I have.
He?
Yes, I have.
Mr. Solution?
Sure.
Okay. So the reason why I asked that question is like, okay, so we all have been married, but it sounds like most of us are not married now. Is that correct?
Correct. That is correct.
Indeed.
Okay. So we are now in that dating pool. So how do I want to say this? So
can I ask a question?
Would it matter? Go ahead.
Has anybody married somebody of a different race? Or nationality?
I have not.
Nor have I.
I have not.
Mr. Solution. Rich.
Mixed.
Excuse me?
Sound like you said Nick.
Oh, okay. I mean,
what nationalities was she? If I may ask, Mr. Solution. Are you okay?
He doesn't want to answer.
Yeah, when that question was asked, I don't think he's having a good time right now.
Okay.
What's the matter, Mr.
Solution?
No, and
that's fine because it's all right. It's okay. No, because in our family, my brothers, two of my brothers have married white. my let's see, my brothers have married white. My nephews have married white. My my niece has married white, and they have the most beautiful babies. They have the most beautiful mm-hmm. children. So they, I mean, you know, in our family, we don't care. We don't. We have been taught to be blind, to be, you know, colorblind, because we don't care. You know, as long as you love me and I love you, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. You know.
Indeed.
Who's making a lot of noise? Who's making a lot of noise in the background?
Not Eddie.
Hey, Inez, our solution. I'm a little bit busy, so I'm coming in and out. But I did hear the last thing you said. I heard mm-hmm. the last thing you said. And see, mm-hmm. I believe some people are obsessed with so-called race, and they don't realize it. I mean, because that is the strongest impetus that they manifest. And I told you, with me, I don't care mm-hmm. what ethnicity a woman mm-hmm. is. And I don't have mm-hmm. to care. What I care about is the way she treats me. Obviously, I use the fit, feminine, and friendly thing. Mm-hmm. And so as far as I'm concerned, I told you race has, as far as I'm concerned, and I think as far as reality is concerned, race has no informational value, and mm-hmm. it has no, really no being. So what I'm interested in, I know it's a woman, or I want to know that it's a woman, an original mm-hmm. woman, not a trans woman, and I want to know that the person, you know, cares about me, mm-hmm. and I'm good. All that other stuff is, see, all of us are mixed. I have the whole gamut, you know, what do you call it, a mutt-mutt. And
a mutt, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that doesn't. Mm-hmm. And purebred, I've been to dog shows. A purebred dog may be able to do certain things, but it really can't mm-hmm. survive. It's very limited. And, you know, so my position is, if it's a good woman, you know, we all are Americans here. We speak the same mm-hmm. language. That's very important. Mm-hmm. If you don't think mm-hmm. it is, Try to have a relationship with the person who doesn't speak the same language. Now, that's a quagmire. Mm-hmm. But I do think many Americans, regardless of their ethnicity, are obsessed with so-called race. I really think they are for a number of reasons. But I don't mm-hmm. think those reasons are very valid, given, like I said, and I quoted King, the content of one's character and not the color of their skin. I don't think a lot of people hear that. I think that just, you know, comes in one ear and goes out the other. Because mm-hmm. I think character is less familiar to most people than so-called color is. What do you think?
Hmm. Eddie, go ahead and answer that if you like. If you want to.
I'm pondering that, you know, culture. Well, I will say one thing about
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Culture makes a lot of people comfortable in a lot of ways. And maturity is another. And, yeah, we are marching forward in time. But a lot of challenges do come because of some of the things that some of us have been through recently as far as the nationality and the people. So sometimes that's the challenge with or without what Martin Luther King and who he coined that phrase from, you know.
Okay.
Right,
so
but Eddie,
it matters.
You said culture. I said character. Did you...
I heard what you said. I heard what you said. Only reason why I'm emphasizing on that, just like when you spoke on Brazilians being from Africa.
Right.
If you talk to a lot mm-hmm. of different appearances, let's say, of Brazilian people, you would get from some of them that they are not black or melanated, and they are not black. Let's just leave it at that, regardless of where they say they're from. Because Europe went through Brazil, and that's another reason why there's so many different hues and body styles in Brazil. Just like, for example, Haiti. Haiti fought against Europe and won. Spain went through what they call the Dominican Republic, which is the main reason why those people on that side of that one landmass are the way they are, which is looking Latin. But if you go back a couple of thousand years, everybody on that island had copper-colored skin, furrowed hair. Same thing with Puerto Rico. Basically, the rest of the Caribbean is melanated. So a lot of people aren't concerned with how things was in the beginning. But the reality is sometimes the foundation of things are very important. Just like going back to even with relationships. If somebody is conscientious and if they're at that right vibration, you could be in poverty and come together. And you could use that energy, even sexual energy, and change the dynamics of your financial life in the matter of 5 or 10 years. It's been done. So that's my answer. I look at things more so on a cultural level. Just like what I believe Keith said, she was dating a Latin man. And their culture is men sit in one room and the women sit around the table, cook and talk.
That's in me. A
lot of traditions. Oh, excuse me, B. It sounds so much, I still can't get it. I apologize. No disrespect, lady. I'm a sister. But these things are like that. I mean, it's like that on certain situations here in the South. I'm in the Carolinas, you know. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that came from colonization. Remember, if it wasn't for Constantine's mother, he would have never been king. But as soon as he became king, he put his mother away, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are my perspectives. Those are the way I look at things, you know. Because that's the way I get an understanding of who an individual is first. And then I go into, as far as relationships are concerned, who they are. You know, because a lot of times the challenges that you have with a woman, or I'm sure vice versa, is because of the way they were raised, what kind of relationship they had with their mother, specifically more so their father, as far as a man seeking for a woman. You know, because these things kind of demonstrate the kind of challenges that you would have. Just like I dated this sister for, I think, 4 years. Then we got married. As soon as we got married, she subconsciously believed that marriage is supposed to be what she experienced with the relationship between her mother and her father. Her father was, I don't know if he was a womanizer, but I know that he partied a lot and he drank a lot. And when he came home, there was a lot of fights. I remain the individual that I am. I don't raise my voice and none of those things. And I have never hit a woman. You know, I grabbed them, you know, once they swung or tried to hit me. Yeah, I've done that. I shook them. I've taken them down to the floor, not slammed them. You know, but no, I'm not going to, you know, we're not going to fight and we're not going to argue. We could have a difference of opinion, but as soon as they start raising that voice and getting into those kind of emotions, I ignore them. I don't necessarily leave, but I ignore them because there's no reason for it. So
right. The
dynamics of our relationship changed as soon as that contract. So maybe I am somewhat traumatized to that. You know, maybe I am. And all I know, all females are not the same. I acknowledge that too. But again, it's interesting.
Okay.
Well, I was very young, and I really didn't know how to pick. Go ahead. I don't know if you had finished or not.
No, I was just emphasizing on the word culture because I love it.
Right. That's right. Well, no, culture is culture is very important. Absolutely. Did you guys seek counseling, if I may inquire?
Eddie?
Yeah, my phone is damaged. Once I go to mute, it's hard to go back because once I press the mute button, my screen goes dark. Yeah,
I was just asking, did you guys seek counseling?
We went to counseling. We did go to counseling once or twice. And we were too different. So that's another reason why, you know, we divorced.
Irreconcilable differences.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I may just chime in, I'm a big student of professional help on multiple levels, counseling. I mean, I get counseling, you know, we should get an annual checkup, and I'll go and sit and speak with a counselor as part of mental health, stress relief, this kind of stuff, you know, to get a clear head. And, of course, professionals, whether it's accountants, financial planners, you know, I'm definitely a student of seeking professional help.
Yeah, because I mean, I myself dated a guy, a white guy, for 6 years. I gave him a dog, a puppy, as a matter of fact, to see if he could, because I had a daughter and I was divorced, and so I had a daughter. And I gave him a puppy to see if he was able to even take care of the dog. Because if he could take care of the dog, then I knew he was able to
kill
the
dog.
He should have. No. if he could take care of the dog, then he would have been able to take care of my daughter and myself. So, I mean, he was a good person. But, you know, he was so in love with me that he was a stalker. And it's like, oh, cuss word, no, I can't do this. He would, my dad had built on this addition onto my house at the time, and he used to sleep in that addition that wasn't even finished built, okay, because it was like, I can't deal with him anymore. He would walk outside my house. The dog across the street started barking one night, and it's like, that dog doesn't usually bark unless somebody's out there. I looked outside. He was outside walking down the street. Down my street, you could see both ends of the street because my house was the last house on the block. And then there was a lots of trees after my house being the last house. I would turn into my driveway not more than 3 to 4 seconds after I get in my driveway, he would appear. Like, oh, heck no. Mm-mm. Well, anyway, he had the dog, which we had joint custody of. So when he was working, I'd take the dog and so on and so forth. And so that dog turned into a demon dog because he didn't train her, didn't take care of her, didn't watch over her. She ate toilet paper. She ate his pager. She ate the tires off of the stationary bike. She ate his ties. She would jump on the counter, then jump on the top of the refrigerator. I don't know what kind of dog that was. It was a demon dog. But then he couldn't handle her. So I was like, if he can't handle her, he definitely can't handle me. So I was like, it's a big no. So other than that, he was a pretty decent person, but it's like, can't do it. So I just stuck with my own kind. So, okay. So that's how it was. And he was over 6 feet. He didn't have a six-pack, but he was slender, you know, and he definitely did not have six figures. So 1 out of 3 is not bad. But as far as Mr. Solutions is concerned, with his females being fit, feminine, and friendly, you know, Were all of your, did you say all of your females or all of your, I won't say mates, but people who you went out with or dated or married, whatever, were they all fit, friendly, and feminine?
Yeah, it worked out that way, fortunately, yes.
Is that because that was somebody who you looked forward, who you looked for and not anything outside of that?
I'm not quite getting the thrust of your question. Could you reposition
I'll just repeat it. Was it a certain type of woman that you looked for and wanted in your life as a mate? Did you just want a fit, friendly, feminine female?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yes. I definitely prefer that. I think that should be, you know, kind of natural. I think most men want that. I think, for example, if you look at the if a person is friendly until they interact with them. Psychologists or social scientists say that, the three stages of a relationship where a person, a stimulus, value, and roles. And, of course, the stimulus is how the person looks, is what one is attracted
right,
to. You've heard, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
men are visual. So, well, women are visual,
yeah.
too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
not
yeah, men are visual. So I prefer, now,
mm-hmm.
like I say, I would work with a woman a few pounds overweight if she was
mm-hmm.
interested in losing the weight and being healthier. First for herself, not for me.
Mm-hmm.
I would never want to, go ahead.
Nobody said anything. You got the floor.
Oh, okay, I did hear some. But, no, I always want a woman to be, first of all, healthy for herself. I just give you a quick example.
Mm-hmm.
They say for every pound a person gains in being overweight, there has to be 10 miles of blood vessels produced. And that's where you get the high blood pressure from being overweight. And that's a cardiovascular problem. It's a health problem, certainly as a person gets older. And so it's just good to be healthy, eating healthy and or healthily, and, exercising and that sort of thing, just having a clear mental outlook. I'm a happy person. I'm intense. I can be very
mm-hmm.
intense. That's the way
yes,
I roll.
You can.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah, but I'm a happy person. I mean, I, if I'm not happy, it's crazy. There's no reason for me not to be happy. All the pieces are in place, you know. It would be stupid for me not to be happy. I'm elated.
Okay,
I can hardly contain myself. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're fine. Earlier you said you're very aggressive. Hold on. Earlier you said you're very aggressive. And you like a woman who's docile, correct?
Well, when appropriate. Well, I think I shifted and said assertive. Because, aggressiveness
okay,
implies.
Assertive.
Yeah, aggressiveness applies dominance. And I'm not trying to dominate anybody. In fact, I want everybody to be autonomous, to run their own lives. Now, if someone asks me for assistance, I mean, I'll give, depending on what it is, I'll certainly lend a hand.
Wait a minute. Hold
no,
on.
No, life is
if
wonderful.
If someone asks you for assistance, can you give a definition of assistance that somebody would ask you of or for?
Well, it just
that
depends.
You would help them?
It just depends. Right. But what I usually consider is people just need information. I think most of us are on a very elevated plane. I often say just being born in America, one has hit life's lottery. Out of roughly the 7.5 million going on 8 billion, excuse me, going on 8 billion people in the world. I mean, just being born in the U.S. And there are other places that are great too, but I'm saying being born in the U.S., I mean, it's just, you know, phenomenal. And so all one has to do is just add a little bit to the great part they already have and voila, you know. Their success
okay.
is.
Okay, and are you still looking for someone for that mate that fits, fun, friendly, feminine, person?
Of course. I mean, it's only natural. You know, we are gregarious as a species. You know, we're social, herding, if you please. And having a mate, a caring, supportive mate is very important. But now, just one quick point, and I think we've been pointing that out. Our culture does not promote healthy relationships. Our culture promotes antagonistic, bellicose, hostile. Oh, yes,
toxic.
Yes. Did you say toxic?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to change that, though. We can change it if we want to. I mean, and I think you guys are doing a good job. I mean, I'm a newcomer here.
Oh,
I'm enjoying.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you. I'm enjoying what I'm hearing for the most part. Now, that doesn't mean we won't, you know, we won't bump heads, because we will. I mean, that's just the human paradigm.
Oh, definitely. That's definite. That's a definite.
But you guys have a good show.
I think
that's the reason. Okay. That's the only reason I come back.
The only reason. I thought because Joe coerced into coming back to antagonize us. No, I'm just kidding. No, somebody
else.
Well,
that too, probably. But no, mainly you guys, in all sincerity, you guys have a great show. And there aren't a lot of shows, you know, there just aren't. But this is a nice one.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
It was more like a question / statement and stuff. I was thinking about, and I'm pretty sure that Eddie and Mr. Safis, whatever, I think his name was Kevin, is it Kevin Samuels, who had all of the things.
Yes.
About the
that
big
guy.
Women, the big women and, you know, living a very prosperous life, happy life or whatever. And then I thought about how superficial so many things can be, right? I was like, a slender person doesn't necessarily mean healthy, and a thick one doesn't mean unhealthy. And I was thinking about how all of these superficial things that he had asked for in the way he passed away. Right. It was like, I was like, your body and your true self will prevail. Right. I was like, people can, like I said earlier, people can say all kinds of things, do all kinds of things. But I was like, your true self will prevail. Right. And I was like, and he ended up dying alone. Right. Under the same type of person that he said almost was repulsive, you know. And I was like, I just thought that was just so ironic. You know, and so I just wanted to make that point of, I was like, healthy for you may not be the health. And I see people that run and everything, and then they'll croak over, right? A marathon runner, a person who works some of the days, who eat, you know, vegan or vegetables or whatever, and they take vitamins, and then all of a sudden they just have a heart attack. You know, I was like, and I believe, my belief is at the end of the day, when it's my time to go, God's going to call me, whether I'm skinny, fat, on, you know, good food, not good food, eating a burger or pizza or a salad. I was like, because, mind you, I was like, those factors, you know, is like, at the end of the day, when it's your time, it's your time.
Right, right, right. And that's what I was going to say. I may, right, because I may be, I mean, if I'm happy at a weight and you don't like the way I look, that's something you're missing out. That's what I got to say. Because I'm fit, funny, and I'm feminine. And people will attest to that, because that's just me. I just, like, at the job that I'm at now, I'd be having people crack up. And my new boss, whatever you want to say, you know, he says, I want you here all the time. I want to have you as my personal assistant. It's like, okay now. So, you know, sometimes we have to get rid of the things that we want and see the person for the person, because that love for each other is more intense and more valuable than the way a person looks. If you are blind and could not see that person, but they love you to death, are you going to say, oh, you know, I'm blind, so I don't want to? You know, what are you going to do if somebody fell ill and they had to start taking medicines, Mr. Solution, then they got bigger, thicker. That happened to my sister. She used to be 100 and no pounds, you know, and she died because somebody had put a date rape drug in her drink, and she wasn't the same person, and so she had to go on medicines and stuff, and she passed away at probably about 300 and some pounds. Now, answer me that question, please. What would you do in that case? Would you say, I'm sorry, you're just too big? Because sometimes the medicines that you take will make you bigger. So if your mate all of a sudden got a illness, a sickness, or a mental whatever, are you going to divorce her because she gained some weight? Can you answer that question, please? Mr. Solution.
Tie her to the bumper of my car and drive, baby? No, I'll just tell
you. You are not Mr. Solutions, Eddie.
Oh.
Mr. Solutions.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you hear my question?
I heard portions of it. I guess if you ask it in love. But I think, Inez, you come across as a pretty wise woman, and you know that you don't take
you.
A hyperbolic example and make it the norm. And what the lady said before you, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. But some people will do that. A person gets to a certain weight, is like, oh, you're too fat, you're too this, you're too that, and they don't want her anymore. And so that's why I was asking, because you want somebody fit, feminine, and friendly. But she was fit, feminine, and friendly when you met, but then something happened, so she had to start taking medicines that made her unfit, still friendly, and still feminine.
Right. Now let me just say...
Okay,
that is what I would call a dissimilar question, because, see, we were talking about under normal circumstances... In a normal setting, people starting out.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
I would definitely say, as a matter of compassion and empathy and sympathy, that if one is already in a relationship, now you know,
mm-hmm.
and I'll just quote the old marriage vows: for richer, for
mm-hmm.
poorer, for better, for worse,
mm-hmm.
in sickness and in health.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's it. That's what mm-hmm. you call, and we don't want to commit the what you call the time shifting. We want to get things in order. There are negotiables and non-negotiables at the outset of a relationship. That's just like, say, for example, when an employer is hiring an employee. You know, the employee is expected to be a certain way. Now, as time progresses, once the employee is hired, certainly things
mm-hmm.
can change. And just to make this very
mm-hmm.
make it very applicable, is that, and what I just said, if a person gets sick, I mean, I think it's a thing of honor and dignity to stick by that person. That's what a commitment is about. But that doesn't mean one commits to a person per a non-negotiable when they are initially, trying to establish
a relationship. Mm-hmm.
Because,
right.
Yeah, because the whole thing is to establish a person's fitness or compatibility early on,
mm-hmm.
just like the Catholics, for example. I listen to Roman Catholic teaching a lot, and they have
mm-hmm.
tests that can predict with 80% accuracy whether two people will make it in marriage. Okay, they have all these matrimonial tests, and they've proven themselves
okay.
over time. And so
okay.
if two people fail that test, now, there's a slight possibility that they could make it, but the overwhelming evidence is you won't. And so that test is designed to say, hey, you guys do not need to get together because you're incompatible. That's the whole purpose
mm-hmm.
of the test. So I think the way you
right.
posited, yeah, so I you're a wise woman. I think you have sagacity. And so as a result of that, but you ask the question in a certain way, maybe to flesh me out, which is perfectly okay. I like being transparent.
No.
Well, no, okay, it's fine, you whether you did it intentionally or not. I don't mind being transparent.
I wouldn't leave
a person if they had a medical condition. Now, there's another side to this briefly. If a person intentionally got fat, just got lazy, and some men do this, some women do this, I think that's sort of a breaking of the contract. I know this case with a woman, for example. Her husband begged her to lose weight. She wouldn't do it. So they got a divorce. Guess what she did? Mm-hmm. The moment she got a divorce, she lost that weight because she knew that was a non-negotiable for most people on the dating scene, and it wouldn't work. So, but the question is, why didn't she lose it for her husband?
She didn't want him no more.
Well, okay. But see, a lot of people find that the grass is not greener on the other side, you know?
No, on the other side of grass is dirt.
It's hell out of here trying to meet people. I wish I had a harmonious, a nice relationship. I'm telling you, that would be wonderful. It would be icing on the cake. But the point is, it's not easy out here. It's war. Dealing with different women. Oh, my goodness. And our culture has taught us.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Right there, because you say that you go out how often? You go on dates how often from the last time?
I said I date 2 to 3 times a month. It kind of averages out to that, you know.
Okay.
I have one lined up. But I'm going to tell you, and I can only talk about women. I only date women. And I like to date professional women who have some education. Now, if a woman doesn't have an education and she's still a good woman, you know, I'll give it a shot. I don't have a problem with that. It's fine. Mm-hmm. So much instability, so much erraticness, you know, out here. I just got to call it the way I see it. I mean, just basic things. And I have a matchmaker.
You have a matchmaker? You have somebody who picks out these women for you?
I have a professional matchmaker, sure.
They're not doing a good job.
Well, they're doing a job. You know, there's only so much they can do. Sometimes the women and I talk about this, and I hear the women, you know, they can't walk on water. I mean, they can only do so. And I advise anybody, to get a matchmaker. It's not easy.
No.
I mean, it improves the odds. Let's just put it that. It's not a guarantee.
Okay.
But it improves the odds.
Stop right there. How many on this line would get a matchmaker? Starting with B.
No, I would not pay for somebody to match me. No.
Okay.
Could I ask you a question? I can ask you the question. Well, see, the thing of it is, some people just haven't learned to prioritize. Some people.
I want to ask this question first, and then you can ask your question because I want to get a consensus of what people think. Eddie.
Sure.
We're gonna wait. I'm gonna ask you next, Eddie. But go ahead and get to your screen so you can unmute. So I'm gonna ask Keith. Would you get a matchmaker?
Oh, sorry. I thought you were asking Eddie first. No, I wouldn't either.
Okay. Because Eddie, he said it takes a minute for him to unmute. So, Eddie, would you get a matchmaker?
No.
Okay. So, bro man.
Unless it was her I was interested in.
Okay. So bad. Okay. So go ahead and ask your question now, Mr. Solution.
I think some people aren't feeling the weight of really what's being dealt with. Because people, look, having a person to share your life with is very, very important. And a lot of people haven't walked through this. People pay for a lot of things that are very superficial. And I don't think it's wrong to pay for something that is very valuable. Whether it be getting your vehicle repaired, buying a home, paying for health insurance. And I think a good mate tops all of those. I think a good mate is better than all of those. because I think all of those things can be gotten with a good mate. So I think a lot of people have just not thought this through. Maybe this is the first time, and I'm not saying these people, I don't know these people, but see, some people have never been confronted with that question. This could be the first time in their whole lives that they've ever been confronted with this question. And some people just don't have proper priorities.
Okay. So
well,
our next thing
would be a bonus. I don't think it should be a priority. So
say it again, Kitty, please.
I'm saying I don't think a relationship is a priority. There are a lot of things that are. Some people do not want that degree of partnership or companionship, and they do perfectly fine. So I don't think a person's priorities are messed up because they don't want to pursue a relationship above everything else.
Right. Well, as times, if I just may chime in, as times get harder, and I think we're embarking upon that now, you may see that differently. I don't know that you will, but you may see that differently. Because the way I started out, I said a man is the best protection for a woman financially. And I know men have civilized society so much so that women don't see them as being valuable. But as things start to fall apart, I think a lot of women are going to have a shift in their mental perspective toward valuing men. Let's see.
Can I ask a question? Can I ask how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I don't want to give that per se. Say I'm over 40. I'm mature. I'm healthy. I'm.
All of us are over 40.
I'm vigorous. Well, okay. That's what I want to share. And the reason, I'll tell you why I want to leave it that way, is because you have a lot of knuckleheads who like to deflect, right? They don't like to deal with the truth. They like to find anything to deflect regarding. So I'm just saying that I'm healthy, I'm successful, and I have it going damn on.
Oh, you do.
Except for a woman. I can't create a woman.
You have a matchmaker. That's what I'm saying. You can't be anything without a woman. A good woman by your side will heighten you, enhance you, and make you more better than you are, more vigorously, more whatever. So,
well, what
I mean,
did Joe
I
say
think,
earlier?
I don't know how long you've been around you guys.
But do you remember his opening statement
about
a woman?
Now. Yeah.
How many?
So he's been with us probably about, 2 years now or so? Two and a half years maybe? 2-3 years.
Okay. Do you remember his opening statement about what a woman is?
A pain in the butt, but go ahead.
And you consider, I consider Joe, now Joe says he agrees with me 95% of the time. I agree with Joe the overwhelming majority of the time. I think he makes excellent points. And I think he does his research and so on and so forth. If he said that, why do you think he said that?
Because he hasn't found the
right
one yet.
Because of his experiences.
Right, and he hasn't, like I said, he hasn't found the that woman to put his hand on her leg while they're driving down the car with the moon roof, looking outside and watching the stars at night. Because we talked about that in the thing, and that's what everybody. Because we on the one relationship roundtable, we talked about what would be the perfect date, you know. Day or date with your mate and stuff, and we all talked about basically living peacefully, having a great peace of mind, and not everybody has found that. I'm 64. I don't care. I don't look 64, but I'm 64. That's why I asked, because everybody is over the age of at least 40 plus, if not 45 plus. So we are all adults, you don't want to take care of your age, which is perfectly fine. Don't hurt yourself over, But I'm 64.
But age is different for a woman and a man, though, right?
Really? Tell me how. That's, about another hour or so?
Well, let me say this. You know Joe's experience. Somebody said Joe was speaking from his experience. Now, you would say Joe's experience is pretty vast, right? I mean, it's not just...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he part of his experience is his communication with other people. So when he puts
mm-hmm.
all that together, collates that,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
tells that, and then he says what he said, that
mm-hmm.
can be taken as a pretty good perspective. I don't say it's absolute, but
mm-hmm.
I think that is a bird's eye view of what's going on.
Well, it could be a bird's eye view, but then it also could be the person saying what they're saying as well, because they may have
right,
their
right.
time.
But Inez, you remember when he said...
Wait. Some people have a very high bar up for a person of who they want and what they want and what they're looking for. And sometimes
right.
you will never find a person who's going to reach that bar. Just like Reverend Ron says, you know, he has never found the perfect woman in his mind. You know, in his mind. You know, so sometimes we have to let our guard down or let our hair down and say, you know, let's just go willy-nilly and just see what's out there, you know, and still keep your standards. But yet, you know, you may find a person in a different race that you wouldn't think that you'd find. So sometimes you have to go outside of your, you know, your good graces and, you know, forget the matchmaker and quit wasting money on a doggone matchmaker and do some things your own self. And see how
well,
much
well,
money
dear, it's not. Well, say when you finish, because there's a delay
I'm,
here. But go,
I,
go,
I'm
say,
done.
Want to respond to you?
I'm done.
Oh, okay. Well, no. Look, it's not wasted money. It's not any more wasted. See, by you just saying that, I think
mm-hmm.
it's a little bit offensive. It's no more wasted than me. Like I said, having a good relationship is better than any of the things that I could spend. I've been in relationships, and I'm telling you,
mm-hmm.
it's better than all these other things because we're talking about a person. Okay. But now,
okay.
when Joe
okay.
said the other night, not last night, my days kind of close in
last
after COVID.
Thursday.
Yeah,
Thursday.
Right. That was on
mm-hmm.
Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Today is Thursday. But
it's
remember
Thursday.
When Joe
uh-huh.
said the woman that he was with, evidently he was giving her a lift, and she went
mm-hmm.
to get a salad, and he asked her to bring him a salad. And I forget it.
Correct.
I didn't hear clearly exactly what she said, but it was tantamount to no.
She said she worked all day and she's tired.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In other words, you got two hands, get it yourself. The thing, was that reasonable, what he asked her?
Yes.
Maybe he
wasn't
earning it.
Wait a minute, both of you guys were talking over each other, one at a time.
He didn't
Go
say
ahead,
it was... He had been on several dates with her or whatever. He just left it real broad. So maybe it was the first date and he didn't earn that kind of attention.
I think it was his first date. I think it was his first and only date. And he took her
I mean,
home
he
and did not say anything else to her.
But does it matter?
He didn't earn it. What you going to put herself out for? She was paying
but wasn't he giving her butt a ride? Wasn't
standards.
She sitting her in his car accepting a ride?
Okay, well, she could have paid him for gas. He didn't say. He elected not to go into a whole bunch of details. He gave a portion of the story, and you making it out more than what it is. She wasn't wrong.
Okay,
I mean,
I think you're veering off course. What I'm saying is, and I thought that through, by the way.
Of course, the majority of this phone conversation, so do not tell me what I'm doing.
Well, I'm saying you're veering off course. That's my position, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay, well, that's your position. I don't care.
Come on.
If you said, see, that's what I'm saying about American women. They're not friendly.
I said what I said.
A woman being asked to get a salad, she's already going up there to the salad bar. That was not unreasonable. That is unjustifiable, in my opinion.
One person at a time.
I'm not entertaining you. I'm not entertaining you.
I could care less.
Well, I'm glad. I said what I said.
Yeah, sure you did. And you're tough. Shit.
Hey, watch the language, please.
Well, sorry, whatever. But I'm saying that was not unreasonable. I don't think any rational person would see that as unreasonable. She's going to the salad bar. On her way there, he simply, her date asked her to bring him a salad. Come on.
He could have got his own damn salad.
Oh, there you go. That's the American woman I like. Oh, yes, that hostility, that toxicity. Oh, bring it on, baby.
You going to go out to eat and then sit down at the table and do nothing? Man, get out of here.
Did you hear him say that? I'm just asking. Did you hear the scenario, ma'am?
Yes, he did.
Okay, she didn't say anything at the time, right? It had to marinate. Did she give any pushback to him when he said he didn't say anything else to her? He just took her home and dropped her carcass off?
It's scary, and I could care less. Maybe y'all should date since y'all co-sign each other.
Mm-hmm.
It was only one date with her because he asked her to get the salad, and she basically said, cuss word, no. In pretty soon, get your own salad.
Wait, I'm sorry. Say that again, Inez. You broke up.
I said it was the only date that they had, and when he asked her to get the salad, she said in nice terms, cuss word, no. You get your
what
own
do you mean
salad.
Cuss word? I'm not quite getting that. What does that mean?
She doesn't,
I don't cuss.
Inez doesn't curse. She don't use those words.
Oh, wait a minute. She used a profane word? I didn't hear that part.
No.
Oh,
okay. I said, I do not cuss. So I will insert the word cuss word, and you can insert whatever word you want in the word when I say cuss word. And I said, basically, politely, she said cuss word no. But she said, get your own salad, is what I'm saying. Go ahead.
No, I want to ask you a question. Finish up, and then I have a question for
I'm
you,
done.
A very simple question.
I'm done.
Okay,
I'm
do
good.
You think what he said, and you were there, you witnessed it, you're feeding it back to me, do you think that was unreasonable for a man to ask a woman that he's on a date with?
It wasn't unreasonable, but, you know, everybody has their wills and will nots. I will not get you a salad, or I will get you a salad. If she was into him, she would say, baby, what would you like? I would say, what would you like on your salad? Because I don't know what you like to eat. Let me know what you like. Do you just like lettuce? Do you want this? Do you want that? That's what I would have done. She says, basically, I worked all day. Okay, I'm sure I would have worked all day if someone picked me up on a date. Okay, but that was just her answer to him. So not every woman, American or otherwise, is the same. Everybody, if you are interested in that person, what would you like? I'm going up there, I like this, whatever. Or I will get your salad and then I'll bring yours back and then I'll go back and get mine. You know, since you're paying for it, I don't mind. You know, I don't mind basically submitting myself, being on the submission. I mean, I would do that because, I mean, yeah, sure, you know, you're kind enough to bring me out here. Maybe you're watching my purse. Maybe you're sitting there and, you know, don't want anybody to do anything to our food or drink for the table. But me, because if I go to an all-you-can-eat buffet and there's a man sitting there, the man needs to say, go ahead and get your meal. I'll say, no, go ahead. And I don't mind waiting because I know that person worked all day. So I know you're hungry. So go ahead and get your meal. That's what I would do. But not everybody is like me, and not everybody is like this other woman. So she had what she had to say, and I would have what I'd have to say. So you cannot categorize everybody because of how they are and who they are. So therefore, you know, she said what she said, and that was the only time that they had seen each other. And after she said that, nothing else was said. So that was a done deal. You know, wiped her, he wiped her hands of her.
I think that's a, Okay, had you finished? Because I just want to make a quick comment.
I am done. I yield.
Yeah, I think that's a great point you made, especially when you said she wasn't into him. And I think mm-hmm. that's important for a man to know before he goes on mm-hmm. a date. Usually a telephone conversation can sort mm-hmm. of ferret that out. But that was kind of hostile, I mean, just given the context. But I would say just out of courtesy, I mean, I mm-hmm. can't imagine a man, a woman, a bunny rabbit asking me something like that, and I wouldn't comply. But, you know, you did say she didn't give a rat's patoot about him
mm-hmm.
is the reason mm-hmm. she responded that way. She wasn't into him, as you said. I think that's a great point to lift out. But even that.
But then again, but like you said, but we don't know what went on prior to them getting to dinner either. I mean, maybe he did something that she didn't like or what have you, but he sounds like a pretty decent person, you know, they probably conversing on the way there, and then once they got there, it's like, oh, this guy might be dry. I just don't think I'm going to like this guy. That may have been going through her mind. And so she says, I worked all day. Okay, and what's that supposed to mean?
Right,
so
I agree.
So we don't know what went on prior to them getting there and doing whatever. But, because all we have is one story on one side.
Well, let me ask you this. You've known Joe for 3 years.
I'm not done.
Sorry, I didn't. Go ahead.
And we don't know her side. So therefore, all we have is one side. And like I said, I couldn't stand Joe when he first got on here. It's like, oh my God, I don't want this man on the show. I have grown to love Joe. He's my brother from another mother. I look forward to him calling because we have some pretty good conversations. So I love his conversations. I love when he comes on. I look for him to come on. Before it's like, oh my gosh, this man is like, how in the world did he find us? You know, now, like I said, it's probably been two and a half maybe years now or so. And I look forward to him joining the show. He is part of my panel. And I had sent a text to him, and he said, don't send any texts. I said, okay, I will, respect, what you asked me to do. And so he knows that I'm on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So he used to come like about 10 minutes before we close up. It's like, then we'd be another hour and a half. It's like, oh, my gosh, what is this man? He needs to come on earlier if he's going to be on this show. And so now he comes on like about, he was on early. He was like on about 5 minutes or so after. Yeah, 4 or 5 minutes after the show started. So because he didn't know exactly what time we came on. Now that he does, he may come on like 15 minutes after introductions. So I have grown to love Joe in a radio land way. And I may grow to love you right now. Right now you were just like, okay, I'm filling you out. It's like, okay, is this man for real? Using all these large words that nobody understands. I don't know. Because if it were me, I would say, bruh, can you please break that down so us folks who don't know what the words you said understands what you said. I didn't know what bifurcate or whatever that word is. And it's like, okay, he's using it in this way. Okay, so this must mean this. Okay, because a lot of these people who may be listening to the show don't have a clue what you're saying. And it's like, okay, speak English. Speak something, but you're an intelligent person, so those are the words you are going to use. So I appreciate them because you are educating me and growing my vocabulary. So keep using those words so I can grow my vocabulary. And as you say, sagius, I think it was the word meaning wise. Is that not correct?
Okay, you finished. I wanted to know when I can speak.
Speak.
Okay. Well, look here. It's kind of like, I don't know if you see you, but I'm seeing you. It's kind of like you kiss a person, then you slap them. But look here. In response to what you said last about the words, there's not a single word that I use that's under 400 years old. Okay. So you can just figure that. But you said you appreciate them, They're words that I use. Words are tools. I studied mechanical and electrical engineering. Without my tools, okay. even with my knowledge, I would feel naked, okay? So words are simple tools to get from one point to another. I was going to quote you a scripture that says, can two walk together except they be agreed? I know we like to play with words, but ultimately two people that are going to be successful and progressive do have to agree. Just like the wheels on your car, they have to be in alignment. Otherwise, they wear themselves out. So ultimately, mature people understand, sure, we can wrangle a little bit, and we should. But we have to get in alignment to go in the same direction. That is, if we want to be progressive and go in the same direction. So I'll just leave that at that. Mm-hmm. Now I'll ask you this. You've known Joe, and thank you for that pedigree. Thank you for that background. You've known Joe for a while. I've known Joe for a while, a lot longer than you. Yes. I don't think Joe would have left a material piece of evidence out if he had done something that had pissed her off. And I'll just say, I know you raised that as a hypothetical, but do you think anything really happened other than what Joe said happened? Honestly?
I don't think so. I mean, he has been forthright and forthcoming as far as I know. But listen, you know, maybe there's something, you know, he might not have known that something perturbed her. You follow me?
Well, I do, but you're reaching. If you catch my drift, you're reaching.
Yes, but I'm just.
I want to come to a conclusion just like he did, and I'm inclined to. Like I said, I generally agree with Joe. I'm inclined to take him at his word. What about you?
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. That was wonderful.
Well, I appreciate you. Thank you. Are you good?
I think she was rude, and I think she was the epitome of the toxic American woman. Get it yourself. You got two hands. Totally, totally unappreciative. And disrespectful.
Okay.
Yeah, we're just sharing life experiences, and I haven't had that happen to me. I'll give you one quick example. The last woman I was dating, and we kind of were dating, we sat in the back of her car on a misty day. She just happened to have a roomy back seat, and we had a great time, just simple things. I mean, I can do the highfalutin, complicated, you know, extravagant things. I mean, I can do those things. The simple things, just sitting, having a heart-to-heart conversation with this woman. And then I bought her some sushi because we had spent about two, maybe 3 hours in the back of her car, in the back seat of her car, having a great conversation. That was absolutely wonderful. That was her representative, I can say, because that really wasn't her. She put on a great act. But I thought it was legitimate initially. I had no reason to think otherwise. But I just hadn't given it enough time because she had abandonment issues. She had abandonment issues, all kinds of issues. Now, I don't know if you know Dr. John Gray. He wrote that book and became a very wealthy man. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. And one of the things he said, and I think you guys alluded to this, is that particularly when a woman is in a good relationship, all the bad things in her life tend to thaw out and come to negatively impact on her present situation, which generally destroys it. And that's where I say people need therapy, you know. And she was into me, and I was into her. For all intents and purposes, but she just, you know.
And those could have been some of those, what we call sexually transmitted demons. you know, she had maybe have had a bad relationship prior to you. And so she's going to, and as Reverend Ron would say, don't bring Joe, Jim, and Jack into our relationship. Leave them at the front door. Don't bring them in. But a lot of times some people cannot divide, you know, where they came from to where they are right now. They have to go through some things to get to some things, to get through some things. And so, of course, they're going to be bringing in things that, you know, a person may not like initially, but if you talk to them long enough, you'll understand where they're coming from so that you can help them get through that so that they, you guys can go, or whoever, you know, the couple is, can go further on if they want to go further on into what they're doing. So a lot of times you have to get through those initial stages, maybe 6 months before it's like, before you give up on somebody, you know, so... You know, that's what I got to say about that.
Can I ask a question?
Well, past problems brought into present relationship destroys a future opportunity.
Okay, I believe that.
And that's why counseling is so important. See, I can't be a woman's counselor, nor should I be. See, I'm about enjoying, what do the French call it? Joie de vivre, the buoyant enjoyment of life, right? So it is not my responsibility to fix her. It's her responsibility to recognize her brokenness and get her carcass in there on the professional therapist's couch and fix herself. She has to want to do that. That shouldn't be dumped on any man, and I tell men to rebuff that, resist that. You shouldn't have to fix her.
And some women don't know that they're broken. Go ahead, Eddie.
No, I was just going to ask, did you have any more questions? What time is the show over?
It's past the time now. It went to the... Oh, yeah, we're in after hours. Like, we were an hour the last time after hour, but we're not going to go that long this time. So, yeah.
Hey, Eddie, Inez is flowing.
She definitely is. Yes, she is.
That's why I call her Doc.
That's why I call her Doc. She's usually in her element, and I definitely, you know,
There you go.
Well, I appreciate you guys. Because I am no relationship guru. I just listen to what other people say. I look before I have my shows. I try to look up information to bring to you guys because you guys, you know, may be the ones who are asking these questions or what have you. And then I have you guys who are on the panel or on the calls who kind of answer questions and, you know, bounce off of each other. So I just bring the questions and then you guys ask more questions and then we go deeper into other questions and other answers and then that's how we have a show. It is just not my show, it is our show. So I cannot do this show by myself at all. And so a lot of times I just, you know, I reach out to you guys, hey, we're on, you know, but then you guys have your own lives. So I just appreciate each and every one of you for coming on, stopping by, stopping through. I appreciate everybody who's out there listening for listening and then texting me and talking, say, good show, great show. You know, one day I'm going to call in, blah, 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 so on and so forth. So now we have a new panelist, Mr. Rich Solutions. So I appreciate you coming through. So basically that's our show for the evening. And so does anybody have any other questions of the panel before I go into my quote-unquote announcements?
Well, I want to throw you a hardball for a couple of reasons. And again, I say you guys have a great show. But,
thank
you. You know, one of the greatest sins of Old Testament Israel was, it said, every man did what was right in his own eyes. And that pissed God off. And also it says, and I think you referenced this, Inez, in the presence of counselors, purposes are established. And I think, again, we need to understand, certainly disagree.
That's the proverb, right?
Yes, sir. Certainly disagree, but with the intent on agreement. Agreement is especially on essentials. You'll never hear me argue with you about what flavor of ice cream you like. I hope you like it. That's it. But on essential things, intelligent people know they have to be in agreement. That's maturity. So I would say when it says in the presence of counselors, purposes are established, that is a very good rule. And can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is no. And so that's just a modern-day philosophy. Well, you have your opinion and I have mine. I won't work with a person like that, and usually a person who has that attitude doesn't go very damn far, if I can say damn.
I'll allow
because
it.
Because that is a bankrupt, that is a bankrupt way of thinking. Go ahead.
No, I'll allow it. I mean, but yeah, because no, if you don't agree on something, you're just going to fuss all night. And if you the other person doesn't fuss with you, you're just fussing with yourself. So you might as well be. I'm just saying. Is that not correct? If I just look at you like you crazy, you're just going to keep on fussing. And I'm just going to keep on letting you fuss because it's like, I'm just going to. If I don't argue with you, where's the argument?
Right, right. Oh, absolutely. I agree. Inez, I just want to throw this at you if, as an idea, if I may.
Another
for
one?
For future shows.
Marriage or what? So I'm trying to think of what hardball you threw earlier. I think I caught it pretty good.
Right, right, right.
Okay.
Well, you know, as the economy gets worse and worse, you know, and inflation, I was in the store earlier today, and inflation is just outrageous. And I did buy a lot of butter because they say there's going to be a problem with getting butter. But I think a lot of people, you know, kind of live like the grasshopper. I don't know if you guys talked about, you know, getting – I got a lot of oatmeal, a lot of canned goods, beans and rice, dry goods and stuff like that. And, you know, if nothing happens that's really bad, at least I got it at a lower price, you know, since prices are constantly inflating. So and people needing to make more money, maybe they want to have a garage sale, work a second job. I mean, they say times are going to get hard. Energy is going to go up. Gasoline is going through the roof for everybody,
okay.
Some people more than others.
Feel it's because of the that's why I was laughing earlier. I was listening to something earlier, and they was calling I call him Sleepy Joe. They was calling him Comatose Joe, Casket Joe. I thought that was real funny because I really don't think all of these agendas and things that he's doing is his. Just like at one time he said business as usual, you know, which demonstrates that. You know, it's a tyrannical system, going back to Baby Bush, you know, things of that nature, because it's interesting that gas prices was high when Obama was in office and Trump got in office, gas prices went back down. And then here we go with Sleepy Joe and gas prices and Ukraine wars, you know, and that's another thing while Trump was in office. It was peace, 4 years of peace, even though they were trying to push him to do things. But what did he do? He brought the troops home, you know,
right.
Which I feel was a wise thing, because just like what you're saying, you know, all these other countries, regardless of their condition, they should take care of themselves, fend for themselves. You know, superpowers shouldn't go into other countries and capitalize on their resources and not value and respect the lifestyle and the sovereignty of those individual countries, just like what they were doing to the Ukraine. Europe and the United States was, you know, getting a lot of the sovereign resources from Ukraine at, you know, basement prices because they were making them promises that they never stood up to.
Right, right, right. Well, Eddie, if I may say so, I'm just thinking that, you know, the people that I'm coming in contact with, I'm just hoping that hopefully this is just redundant. It's superfluous. It's not even necessary. But I would just say, you know, people, as best you can, get prepared. You know, water, food. I don't know if
you
any
know
of
what
you
I
guys were in the military,
happen?
But we used to have those MREs.
I
don't have
those.
Any of those. That's the long-term storage food. That's 2,000 calories or more. But I'm just saying,
it's,
you know,
meals ready to eat. That's what they are. MREs are meals ready to eat. I have some. I got them. I got water. Mm-hmm.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, have you had a show on that? I think people need to prepare. And if nothing happens, I mean, you just have some food.
You got
that,
food.
That's at lower cost, right? At
for a while.
Yeah, and so I just hope everybody is prepared. But go ahead, Inez. That's my two cents.
That's fine. Eddie, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I think, you know, these kind of situations just might bring people together, just like they brought out this testemic. And a lot of people didn't take the Pope, you know, just like the Georgia Guidestones, you know. There's a parasitic society that really wants to knock off the population, really wants,
mm-hmm.
you know, the planet to be a prison planet, you know, with them in control. You know, it's just so many things, but, you know, the common man
a prison
and
planet,
to,
did you say? That's funny.
Well, what do you think? Why should it be a one world government, one world monetary system, when it shouldn't be that way? Everybody's not the same, so why should it be that way? Why should one country be the governing faculty no matter who's in control of that particular country? You know, why should people give up their weapons when, you know, at one time that's basically what was used to take over land masses of people when they were minding their own business?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And why doing all this space race when they're trying to get to another planet? Because something they know something's going to happen to this one. As you said, an imprisoned planet. Or what did you say? Is that what you said?
Yeah, prison planet.
Eddie?
One world government
prison
is basically
planet.
A prison planet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, you know.
Hey, Inez, may I ask, where did you get your MREs from?
Army surplus. No, I didn't. I lied.
Were you in the military?
I have a friend who told me to get ready for stuff. So I can't remember if we got them from the Army Surplus Store. If he got them for me. I can't remember which one, but he has his supply, and he got me. I think I got a box. Yeah, I got a box of MREs. And then I got patches of tuna, peanut butter, and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, peanut butter. Mm-hmm. I stocked up on that today. Go ahead. Yeah, peanut mm-hmm. butter is a good one.
Okay, uh-huh. I didn't get this fix from just looking at myself in the mirror.
Well, you said you're fit, feminine, and friendly, so you should have a boyfriend. Hey, drop your handkerchief. That's what Kevin Samuels used to say, drop your perfume handkerchief and
have a nice little line. No,
women don't need that much to pick up on a great man.
Listen. Look here, bruh. I dress raggedy. I go to the gas station, and I'm picking up 30-year-olds, 27, 28, 29, 30-year-olds. It's like, why? Leave me alone.
Listen at you.
I go to
Are you picking them up, or are you getting hit on? You need to clarify what you're saying. You said you're picking up.
You're right. No, I'm picking up because I'm putting down the pump. No, they ask, can I pump your gas? I mean, I'm just there doing what I'm not dressed up. You know, I wear my little jeans and little T-shirt and whatever. And twice, young man, can I pump your gas? I'm okay, I can do it, but I let him do it. And then that one of the last ones, the same one, I want to come over. Come over and do what? all you've done is text me. We have not had no general. We have not had a full conversation on the telephone of more than 5 minutes. And you want to come with my? I don't know you like that. You better go somewhere and sit down, and I can mentor you and tell you how to treat a lady and pick up a lady, and you know, if you want to keep a lady. But I'm sorry, I am not that one. You better go somewhere, sit down, and get you one of them little baby dolls and talk to her like that, but I'm not that one. And then the other one that had asked me to pump my gas, he took me to dinner. He gave me $100. He, you know, we had a great time, you know. It was like, okay, cool, you know. And we went, he said, hi, you know, follow me out. I'm going to pay for dinner. I'm going to take you to dinner so we can have a meal. So I said, wherever you want to go, I'm probably one of the cheapest dates that you can even ever have. It doesn't take much to make me happy.
Wait, let me clarify. This was a first-time encounter?
At the one time, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yep. Look at you, Inez. So what transpired from that?
Oh, well, you know, we were seeing each other, you know. And he bought me.
Oh, well, good, good. That's enough.
He'd buy me. Yeah, he'd give me money every month and stuff like that, and so on and so forth. And then I was at Walmart. I had my nephew, and this older gentleman, he's probably in his 70s or whatever. I'm asking, said, ma'am, can I bring you a piece of sweet potato pie? Oh, bruh, you're gonna have to bake two sweet potato pies because I got my nephew here who's probably gonna want one himself. He says, oh, well, I'll do that. I'll do that. It's like. I appreciate that, but I'm good, sir. I mean, my
husband, okay.
He said,
well,
he
that's
says,
nice.
Auntie.
That's nice.
He says, Auntie, you weren't even flirting in this man. People come up to you. I said, that's why I dress the way I dress. I'm not trying to pick people up. I don't. I'm just in the store shopping. I'm not flirting with anybody. I just being myself. But I'm fit. I'm fun. And I'm friendly.
Fit, feminine,
okay?
And friendly.
Fit, feminine, and friendly. So, you know, so ladies out there, you don't have to put on that fake makeup. Oh, this other gentleman that I met, I've been talking to him for, was it 4 years? Yeah, he's in Maryland, I believe. Yeah, he's in Maryland. And he got my phone number, and we've been talking for 4 years. And when I met him at Walmart, again. So the dress I had on was very, I had everybody's attention that day.
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
You. Now, there's another one, Inez, FBI, okay. Feminine, beautiful, and inspirational.
Okay. Mm.
Are you there?
I thought it was, yeah, I'm here. I said, okay, that's it. Feminine, what is it?
Well, it's
feminine,
FBI.
Feminine, beautiful, and inspirational.
Beautiful, inspirational.
Okay. But they don't know I'm inspirational until I start talking to them. Because I don't, I just be myself. That's all.
Well, remember, I gave you the three stages earlier. Stimulus, value, and role. Stimulus is just what we see, both man and woman. Value is when we get to communicate with each other. And you're right, conversate is not a word. Even in the unabridged lexicon. And, of course, role is where we go once we've decided, you know, on being in a dyadic relationship, a two-party, you know, man-woman relationship. So it's a beautiful scenario. Now, this is what social scientists tell us, the three stages of a relationship, right? Stimulus, value, and role.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have to stop you right there. It says conversate. Conversated, conversating. Non-standard, except in some dialects. To have a conversation, converse, or talk. Because it's like it now has been added to dictionaries. That word has been added to dictionaries, conversate. It's like, I hate that word. Let's conversate. What in the heck is that? You have a conversation or you converse? That's what you do. You don't conversate. But now people conversate.
Right, but it said non-standard. That was the indicator right there. Non-standard.
Except
I think
in some
it was
dialect.
In the 90s they put the word ain't in the dictionary, and the same thing with mind, M-I-N-E-S, because in the common, people use those words, but there's no word in law and in so-called proper English. You know, that's just one of those words that people use here in the American.
Right, in the Urban Dictionary. I look at the Urban Dictionary from time to time also.
And it says origin of conversate, first recorded in 1970 to 75, back information from conversation. And so then it gives this historical usage of conversate. The use of conversate has soared since 2000, mostly in speech and in written records of speech. The term is a back information from conversation created by dropping the suffix, the ion, and adding the e to produce a verb form. So that's what that is. So that's
all right. Look here. It's
so
been a little slice of heaven conversing with you guys. And so I'm going to bid you adieu until the next time. So you're Tuesdays and Thursdays, correct, Inez?
For right now, until Mr. Sergeant Parks comes back, he does Keeping It Real with Sergeant Parks on Thursdays, every other Thursdays usually. So I'm just filling in, you know, so people will know to be tuning in on Thursday evenings. So just, you know, kind of keeping pace. But, yeah, usually on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I may still do this every other Thursday opposite of Mr. Parks or Sergeant Parks. So, yes. So,
but you also have ministers on the other days of the week, correct? Ministry.
Oh, I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready. Oh, yeah, I'm getting ready to do my announcements. I got announcements. But, you know, in order to for us to go forward, we want you to donate to Let's Do It Radio. And I appreciate those who have donated, you know, this past week. I appreciate that. So keep us on the air. You can do that to the Cash App, the $ANAISEVALCOUR, or to Venmo, to the @MZ-INEZ, or to Zelle if you know my telephone number. Or if you want to become a sponsor, you can send an email to me at letsdoitradio@gmail.com. So, you know, there's ways that we do. And usually our shows are at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, to stay kind of so everybody knows that that's the time zone that or time frame times that we do that. So that you say, what time is it? Because it used to be at 3 p.m. On some days, but it was like confusing. So everything that I talk about is 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. So this Sunday we have Reverend Carolyn Williamson from Yakima speaking on the fourth Sunday. Tuesday, we have Let's Talk About with Miss Inez. Wednesday, we have Bible Study with Reverend Ronnie Marshall. And then Thursday, we have Miss Inez Says Let's Talk About It. I don't know what our topics are going to be. And then on the fifth Sunday, October the 30th, we have Pastor W.F. Pry Jr. out of Yakima, Washington, from the Grace Temple Church of God in Christ. And so that's who we have. So I want to ask this question of everybody. If you were blind to the ways of mankind, would you want your eyes opened up to those ways? I have been your hostess for the evening, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Valkyrie Designs at www.anaisevalcour.com. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram if you want to see my ugly mug, to see if I'm fit, feminine, and friendly. And until we meet next week, take it off your chest and let's talk about it. Thank you again to all of you for joining us. Please be safe. Get you some MREs or some food that you can sup with in case something happens. Get some water, toilet paper, and every other necessities that you need. So please, please, please love each other, love on each other, and keep peace. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Until Sunday. Good night.